South American frog back here under 16 social media ban could be brought in this year. Yesterday, it was a gold rush for GB in the Winter Olympics.
It's gold again! It's gold once more! Unbelievable! This is indeed a Super Sunday! Matt Weston and Tabby Stoker!
Yes, they won in the mixed team skeleton, making it a Super Sunday as it's been dubbed. Plus,
I'm certain that it's great to be a cat.
Happy 19th birthday to the cat that's met presidents, prime ministers and even the odd prince. Yes, Larry celebrates his 19th birthday down at number 10 Downing Street. Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, the former business secretary, Sir Vince Cable, has joined calls for an inquiry into Andrew Mountbatten's Windsor ties with Jeffrey Epstein. It follows allegations that Andrew forwarded confidential information to Epstein when he was a UK trade envoy. Yesterday, the UK's top prosecutor said he had total confidence that any relevant evidence into claims would be looked into. Chief Royal Correspondent at Newsweek, Jack Royston's told LBC, pressure is growing on police and the royal family.
The Director of Public Prosecutions over this weekend said that nobody is above the law, including somebody like Prince Andrew, and these allegations that relate to misconduct in a public office rather than trafficking might make for a more simple, straightforward case, because obviously it's all there in black and white in emails.
Thames Valley Police confirmed last week that it is assessing claims following the latest release of Epstein files. Andrew was always denied any wrongdoing. The government says it'll move more quickly to close gaps in laws designed to protect children online. Sir Keir Starmer says no platform will get a free pass on children's safety. The Online Safety Act was drafted before the emergence of AI chatbots. Rowan Ferguson is from the Molly Rose Foundation and has told LBC legislation needs strengthening.
Our view is that the implementation of the Act is unambitious. It's sort of stacked in favour of industry, of big tech, rather than the needs of children. And the measures that we have are really baking in sort of a status quo rather than stretching platforms to go further to protect kids.
A man charged with murdering 15 people at a Jewish event on Bondi Beach has appeared in court in Australia. Naveed Akram is accused of opening fire along with his father, who was shot dead at the scene in December. The 24-year-old appeared via video link and will face another hearing in April. Iranian and US negotiators are travelling to Switzerland for a second round of talks over limiting Tehran's nuclear programme. Indirect discussions are due to start tomorrow. Iran signalled that it is ready to consider compromises if sanctions are lifted. Washington has built up a large naval force in the Middle East and has threatened military action if a deal isn't reached. And the final set of hearings of the UK COVID-19 public inquiry begins later. It'll examine the wider impact of the pandemic on society, including mental health, key workers and the most vulnerable. The hearings are set to last 3 weeks. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,446. It closed at 43 on Friday. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, a windy day with scattered showers and sunny spells for most. Some of those showers turning wintry on higher ground, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity. We actually reward you for it. That's why when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
4 minutes after 7, Monday, February the 16th, as the United States confirms every Epstein file has now been released. Many people are saying, what on earth are the police waiting for? As regards Andrew Mountbatten, Windsor, formerly Prince Andrew, surely now there's everything you need to know. We'll go through what would appear to be, I hasten to add, he denies all wrongdoing, but the only way that this is ever going to be dealt with is that the sunlight of full disclosure and possible police investigation. More on that in a moment. In other news, a story I mentioned just a few moments ago as we started the show, the idea that the under-16 social media ban could actually be brought in this year. Rowan Ferguson is with the Molly Rose Foundation, remember, named after that young woman who took her life. Rowan Ferguson told LBC, the act needs to be tougher.
Remains that, you know, an excellent foundation for protecting our children, but unfortunately it's just not working as intended. It's not delivering on the sort of the intentions of either Parliament or the hopes of parents when it was originally passed.
The relevant government minister, indeed Secretary of State Liz Kendall, will join us later in this hour. To other matters involving children, and this is the concern, 60 cases of measles have been found in Enfield, some children being hospitalised. Director of Public Health at Enfield Constable Dudu Sharami has told LBC,
the key message is to ask households to check their measles, mumps and rubella vaccination status.
This bizarre case of how they used frog poison to kill one of Vladimir Putin's most open-mouthed and loudly spoken critics. US Secretary of State Marco Rubio says Washington has no reason to doubt the assessment of how he lost his life.
We obviously are aware of the report. It's a troubling report. We're aware of that case of Mr. Navalny. And certainly if we don't have any reason to question it, or we're not disputing or getting into a fight with these countries over it.
Plus, it was a super Sunday for Britain on the Winter Olympics. I'll be asking, just how tuned in to the Olympics have you been? Or is this the moment when you actually will start watching the slopes?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
As one newspaper points out this morning, the Daily Mail, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, although extraordinarily lacking in any self-awareness, remember, was it just 2 weeks ago? Right at the, well, at the height, it's never dimmed, is it? But as the Epstein file storm was raging, he decided to take to his horse and ride it in Windsor Great Park and sort of waved and did odd gestures and smiles and waves to various people. It is reported that when the King saw those photographs or was made aware of it, that's why it was decided Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was effectively ordered out that night. So he is utterly lacking in self-awareness, we know that. If you read any of the evidence that's been suggested against him or how he behaves in certain trade delegations, he doesn't seem a particularly pleasant fellow to spend time with. But surely he must be aware now, and the police must be aware, with a fresh set of revelations. Now, the latest being that he leaked sensitive information about the Royal Bank of Scotland to Jeffrey Epstein while Andrew was trade envoy to the UK. That's come with after weeks of scrutiny over his links to the dead paedophile. As every Epstein file has now been released, Democratic Congresswoman Melanie Stansbury, who's been heavily involved in the publication of the documents, says these revelations show the royal family needs to be held to account.
What has unfolded in the UK over the last couple of weeks is that Jeffrey Epstein was a national security risk to the UK, and it's important that the individuals who may have either intentionally or inadvertently shared information be held accountable.
There are growing calls now for the former prince to face a full police investigation into his taxpayer-funded spell as envoy. Remember, we did pay his salary. This idea was supported by Shadow Foreign Secretary, Conservative MP Dame Priti Patel, who told journalist Camilla Tominey,
everyone that's been involved, who, you know, should be subject to the right kind of inquiries, police investigations. And what has taken place and happened is absolutely abhorrent. And it's right that everyone is scrutinised in terms of their roles, what has happened, information, papers that may have been shared and disclosed.
We'll hear more from royal commentator and broadcaster Peter Hunt in just a moment. But let's turn first to Joshua Rosenberg, who's legal commentator, author and broadcaster, and joins us now. Question one, what would be the process by which the Met or Thames Valley would investigate? Question two, how rare would it be, Joshua? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, the first question is which of those two forces would be involved. Certainly, we know that the Assistant Chief Constable of Thames Valley said that the force was leading the assessment of allegations against Mountbatten Windsor of misconduct in public office, specifically relating to the Epstein documents. But this may well be an appropriate case for the specialist officers in London, in the Metropolitan Police. How rare would it be? It's very rare for serious allegations such as this to be investigated against a former member of the royal family.
What will the police, either force, be looking for, Joshua?
They will be looking at this rather strange offence of misconduct in public office. This is what we call a common law offence. It was never laid down by Parliament. It was developed over the judges. That means it's a little bit hard to define, although I actually put that question to the Director of Public Prosecutions last week, and he said there was no problem. It was perfectly clear based on a decision of a court 20 years ago. And the elements of the offence are that you have to be a public officer acting in that role, whatever a public officer may mean, who willfully neglects to perform his duty or willfully misconducts himself to such a degree as to amount to an abuse of the public's trust in the office holder and without reasonable excuse or justification. In other words, the question is whether Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor willfully misconducted himself as a trade envoy to such a degree as to amount to an abuse of the public's trust.
What have you learned about the role played by the former Prince Andrew from the release of the Epstein files you've been able to see, Joshua?
He's certainly spoken to a lot of people. But on the other hand, that's what a trade envoy does. He's passed on information which may or may not be confidential. That's a matter of argument. He would undoubtedly say that it was his job to pass information on to selected people, perhaps even inside information, which would encourage people to invest in the United Kingdom. The police might say there's no justification for passing on that sort of information, especially if it's alleged that you're getting some financial benefit from it. After all, the trade envoy is not paid, only works on expenses. So these are difficult questions that need to be investigated in order to see whether any criminal offence has been committed or whether he can quite reasonably say, look, I was performing my duty to the best of my ability. I was not willfully misconducting myself.
These investigations or assessments, as Thames Valley please call them, presumably they are the length of a piece of string. They're as long as they have to be, effectively, Joshua. There's no timeline.
There's no timeline. There's no limitation period. These things take months to investigate. You're looking through large numbers of emails. The question for the police is at what point and in what circumstances they invite Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor in for interview, and whether indeed we, the media, get to hear about it, and what he says in those circumstances. You would expect he would be instructing lawyers if he can find the money to pay for them. Maybe his brother will support him in that regard. Who knows? We don't know what advice they will give him. They may well say, best to say nothing and see what the police have got to say. And then the police will have to consider this. It will go to the Director of Public Prosecutions, who will have to advise whether there's enough evidence to bring a prosecution.
Finally, a case at this level, Joshua, would the ultimate decision have to cross the desk of the Commissioner of the Met?
If it is the Met Police who's investigating, yes, I think then the Met Police Commissioner would have to sign it off. Similarly, the Chief Constable of Thames Valley, if it's retained in that force. So, yes, senior police officer and the head of the Crown Prosecution Service, the DPP, Stephen Parkinson.
Joshua, thanks for all your time this morning. Joshua Rosenberg, legal commentator, author and broadcaster, listening at 12 after 7. Peter Hunt, who's a royal commentator and broadcaster, indeed served as a BBC royal correspondent for many years and joins me now. Good to have you on again, Peter. Right, that old mantra, don't complain, don't explain, that's gone away, I think you would accept now. So what does the King, what does the royal family need to do about these growing calls for some sort of action against his brother? Morning.
Good morning. I think the King has got to do quite a lot, because I think what the King is discovering is that they are behind public opinion at the moment, despite all of their attempts to try and defenestrate Andrew and remove his titles, move him to Sandringham. I think there is still more that the King needs to do. Not least, I think he does need to say publicly that he backs these calls for Andrew to give evidence to the Americans who are seeking to investigate more what Epstein is up to. And also, we shouldn't forget that Andrew is still eighth in line to the throne. I mean, unbelievable that he has still retained that within the line of succession. I think now is the time for the King to ask the government to pass legislation to remove that. And I think the third and the really key difficult thing for the King, which ties into your conversation just now with Joshua Rosenberg, I think he needs to make it very publicly clear that his institution is prepared to be accountable. And if that means opening up documents from 2001 to 2011, when Andrew was the trade envoy, then so be it. And they are prepared and will do that.
Is there anyone that Andrew takes counsel from?
I think the evidence would suggest that there isn't at the moment. The evidence seems to suggest that he's just there on his own and is sort of shutting himself off, not surprising, from the media and from people trying to give him advice. I think it's quite striking, actually, that Jonathan Dimbleby, the biographer of King Charles and friend of King Charles, when he was asked about why shouldn't the king go out and say what I'm saying, which is that Andrew should get evidence, he suggested that his brother wasn't listening to him, that he wasn't his brother's keeper. So clearly messages have passed from the palace to Andrew saying you need to go and do this, and clearly the message is coming back that he won't. And in part, that may well be that he's getting legal advice saying it would be remarkably foolish of you to go and testify before the Americans.
You've been in and around the royal court for decades. I know you won't be offended by that. What have you learned about the royal family connection, the Andrews connection with Epstein, and what have you learned about the royal family's handling of this crisis?
Well, I've learned that the depth, as we all have, of that relationship with Epstein. I've learned that, his Newsnight interview was almost now almost a work of fiction.
Farcical, I mean,
there's more holes in it than a Swiss cheese. I mean, this is the man who told Emily Makeless, from talking about the meeting in 2010. From that day forth, I was never in contact with him. And then, there was that one of many dreadful emails back in February 2011. We'll place some more soon. So we know that, and that's a major challenge for him. That's why his lawyers may well be saying to him, don't go to the Americans, because what is the basis of your evidence? Where do the facts lie? And from the point of view of the institution, I think we are around the area of 1997 when Diana, Princess of Wales, died, and there was that feeling that the royal family and the Queen, the late Queen as she then up in Scotland, was out of touch with public opinion. There is a risk now for King Charles that he is similarly viewed as that, as being not quite in touch with where the public is.
Always good speaking with you, Peter Hunt. Thank you, royal commentator and broadcaster. And now over to you. And if some action is not taken, it really will be, won't it? One law for them and one law for the rest of us. Talking about law breakers, the widow of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny last night said Vladimir Putin must be held accountable after it emerged her husband was killed by a frog poison. Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper was at the Munich Security Conference on the weekend.
Only the Russian government had the means, the motive and the opportunity to use that toxin against Alexei Navalny in prison.
An extraordinary story, and we'll have more details on it after this. It's 7:16, LBC News headlines then. Dominic Ellis.
There are fresh calls for police to investigate Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's ties with the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The man charged with murdering 15 people at a Jewish event on Bondi Beach has appeared in court for the first time in Australia. And the government says it'll respond more quickly to close loopholes in laws designed to protect children online. LBC weather, a windy day with scattered showers and sunny spells. Some of those showers will turn wintry on higher ground, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are queues on the M1 southbound, Junction 9 at Redbourne. It's following an accident where two lanes are closed. And then also on the M1, but northbound, it's very busy up to Junction 13 at Bedford after a car was on fire earlier. On the M25, there are delays anti-clockwise to Junction 20 at King's Langley. That's where a car's broken down. Albert Bridge remains closed in both directions for the emergency works, so definitely do expect delays again this morning in the area. On the trains, there are delays of about half an hour on Avanti West Coast and London Northwestern services between Watford Junction and Milton Keynes Central. And on the Underground, there are minor delays on the Metropolitan and Piccadilly lines.
This is LBC.
Psst. Hey, dogs. Yeah, I'm talking to you. If you're tired of dry, tasteless kibble or slop that plops out of a tin, you're going to want to hear this. Butternut Box makes only the freshest dog food with juicy meat and tender veg. It's the kind of food that makes dogs, tongue out, running around the kitchen happy. Let's hope your human heard this too. Butternut Box. Fresh food, happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd buy a really nice suit.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw.
I'm rich!
But instead of a suit, you buy a jetpack. And ruin your sister's wedding.
So sorry, I'm late to the end!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search The Birthday Draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only. No purchase necessary.
This year at Amazon, we're increasing the electric vehicles used for deliveries across Europe to over 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where babies are made a fuss of, where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts, and where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden. Can they have their ball back, please? We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on projected delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU by end of 2026.
Okay, done. Move that and... Oh, new ways to invest.
Okay.
Foolproof guaranteed returns. Invest today.
All right, I think I will.
Way before you seal the deal, check if it's real and if a company's authorised by the FCA.
Oh, thanks.
Search FCA Firm Checker.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
20 minutes after seven, Tony, you're going to be the first caller concerning Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. Let's look, quick look at some of the front pages. Well, all but one of the front pages. They all have the same picture, and you can probably guess what it is after the success. And well done to the athletes taking part, of course, to the Winter Olympics. These are those, the golden moment of history, as one newspaper, the Metro, calls it. And there's a photograph of some, or if not all, for some papers, all of the gold medal recipients. So we'll be looking at that a little more detail later in the hour. The story that we're looking at, the police would seem to be delaying as regards Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. That is the front page of the Daily Mail. So what are the police waiting for? It's also mentioned on the front page of the Daily Telegraph. Let's give you one other... Well, the aftermath of that extraordinary story, and we're going to discuss this in just a moment, of what seems to be the poisoning of Alexei Navalny using a frog poison. You did hear that correctly. The Eye takes that on UK to cut Russia Defence Fund. Kremlin poison threat revealed. The front page of the LBC app is the story. Pressure mounts for police action over Andrew Trade Envoy. And let's take one at random. Here we go. The front page of Sky News is celebrating the 19th birthday of Larry the Cat. This is the mouser down at 10 Downing Street who's met prime ministers and presidents and princes and probably princesses and goodness knows so many others. Probably the odd dictator thrown in. 19. Oh boy, that is a heck of an age. I remember as a child we got a cat to 17 and we thought we'd done pretty well with Wendy. But Larry at 19, my goodness. We'll be talking about Larry in the next hour. But let's come to a conversation concerning Andrew Mountbatten Windsor and exactly why the police are taking so long, whether it's the Met or Thames Valley. Tony's in Barnum. Tony, your reaction. Good morning.
Oh, morning, Nick. Just a quick mention. What happened with the rugby on Saturday?
Oh, well, they were outplayed in every single section. Yeah.
Everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Yeah. And there was no one who stood up for some reason. All the main players seem to put their head in their hands and not really move to the moment. But there we go. We'll wait for Saturday, see how we do against Ireland. That'll be an interesting one at Twickenham. Don't get me ever to call it the Alliance. It's not. It's Twickenham and always will be Twickenham. Do go on.
Nick, I've said this before. Surely yes, his private detective, who would have been with him day and night, must know something. He would have known who he saw, where he went.
Isn't the reality, Tony, you and I know that we need a police investigation. You and I know that once they see his detective's notebooks or logs or whatever they call them, this man has to be questioned. And if they don't, unfortunately, both the police and the royal family will be diminished in, I would say, the view of most sane folk.
Well, surely they must have looked at this detective's notebook.
They've got everything they need, Tony. You know, I don't know whether they're hoping it will go away. I don't know.
The only thing is now, because obviously they've stripped Andrew of his title and he's... And with his attitude, you know, he's going to just stick two fingers up at anyone who tries to sort of get him to.
Let me ask you this, because you and I have been speaking for years, and you're a level-headed bloke. If they try and make this go away, if they think they can either tough it out or wait it out, I do think it will do. It won't finish off the royal family, but it'll be a massive knock to the royals if they don't take action on this.
Oh, absolutely. And I say, but with Andrew's attitude, we all know he's got this bad attitude. If he just refuses to cooperate, it's going to make it very, very difficult.
Got that right. Tony, let's see what others make of it. Thank you. And yes, it was a bit of a horror show on Saturday, but congratulations to Scotland, the better team in every single department of the game. The right team won, no question about it. See how we go on Saturday. Let's go to other matters. And the UK wants action to be taken after evidence appears to show Russia killed political prisoner Alexei Navalny with frog poison. This coming from Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper. She said this at the Munich Security Conference over the weekend.
Only the Russian government had the means, the motive, and the opportunity to use that toxin against Alexei Navalny in prison. And that is why we are here today, to shine a spotlight on the Kremlin's barbaric attempt to silence Alexei Navalny's voice.
Now, 2 years ago, Russian opposition leader Navalny, a vocal critic, outspoken critic of Putin, died suddenly in the Siberian prison where he was being held on what was said to be trumped-up charges. Laboratories in Europe have now confirmed he died from the obscure poison, which the Home Secretary says only the Russian government, as you heard, had the means, motive and opportunity to use. Let's turn to Bob Seeley, who's author of The New Total War, an expert on Russian warfare, served as a captain in the British Army and also as a Conservative MP, so wears many hats in this conversation. Well, we're hearing those words from the Foreign Secretary. What direct action do you think should be taken, Mr. Seeley? Good morning to you.
Good morning to your listeners. It's very difficult to know what to do here because he wasn't a British citizen and one can be appalled. I think the easiest direct action is to do what the government is doing, but more so, which is to support Ukraine, because that all roads lead back to supporting Ukraine, allowing it and ensuring it can defend itself against this Putin's sort of authoritarian, indeed fascist regime. So whatever one does, the only thing that matters to Putin is going to be winning or losing the war in Ukraine. And if you want to hurt Putin, you ensure that you fund and support and work with the Ukrainians properly.
As an expert on Russian warfare, how surprised or otherwise were you by the means in which that man was killed?
I'm sort of surprised that the Russians go to such an extent to find this sort of a very exotic poison. But poisoning has become Putin's go-to weapon, whether it's fentanyls or opioids or dioxins or other types of poison. I think what was unique here was the sadistic pleasure that Putin clearly had in murdering somebody who was already in prison and could have been killed in any other series of ordinary ways, killing him in such a sort of exotic, sort of almost sort of Bond villain kind of style. I think that was extraordinary. The question is, was it meant to be picked up by the West eventually, or was this just for Putin's personal pleasure?
Why did he have to be killed? What threat did Navalny pose to Putin, would you say, Bob?
Navalny was not only an individual, but he was effectively the head of Russia's weakened and divided opposition. Putin had a fixation on him, Nick. He didn't even mention his name until he was dead. And then he started saying Navalny in public. Before that, he didn't even mention Navalny's name. Navalny was a representative of another direction, or he was a symbol of another future for Russia, which would have been more law-governed, more imperfect, but much more democratic. And so by killing Navalny, he killed not only a man, not only his main opposition figure, but also effectively a different path for his country. And therefore, Nick, he wanted his death, Navalny's death, to be symbolic, to be brutal, and to really stick in the mind. Like Vlad the Impaler or Ivan the Terrible, he wants his opponents to die in creative ways to send a signal.
Wow, what an explanation. If your book reads like that, I think we should all go out and get a copy. Bob Seeley, thank you, author of The New Total War, expert on Russian warfare, former captain in the British Army, and served as a Conservative MP, really putting some colour and background into that extraordinary story. Bob Seeley, thanks for your time. 7:27. Come back to the conversation, probably closer to home. Certainly easy for us to get our heads around, which is, it is, to use an Americanism, because there's a lot coming from America on the story, it is a no-brainer, isn't it? Either the Met, for events that are alleged, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor denies everything, went on in central London, or events, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor denies everything, that went on in the Thames Valley patch, we need some police action. Adam in St Albans. Adam, your take on this. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, morning, Nick. Very, very interesting. Both the royals and the government use a protocol which is called Step Change Crisis Management.
Oh, right.
And we can see this, which is a slow drip. We've seen it with Mr. Manderson and obviously with Andrew. These things come out, They try to hold them in place, and as furthermore discouraging information comes out to them, then action is taken further and further with them.
Would you say it's working then, Adam, or not, surely?
It's the way the system, the establishment, both the royal household and the government within Whitehall use this. The question is, how far do you go? And you're seeing this now. How far do you now go to criminal, to investigations, which we're now seeing with Andrew, with the police?
We're not seeing any investigation, Adam, just to correct you there, sir.
No. What we're seeing, that is the next step up on the ladder for to move forward. Now, whether that goes to that level...
So is it your sense that it will, or what do you think?
Well, the simple thing is, it's the step change again up the next ladder.
Yeah.
Do they go after Mandelson on it? Do they go after Andrew? It's running in lockstep. It's fascinating to see this go forward as a parallel, the pair of them going up on this way, because basically they're both in the doo-doo.
They are indeed. But it's what that doo-doo does to either man. Adam, thank you. Have a safe day. Albert in Croydon, it makes my blood boil how Andrew just goes through life doing what he wants and thinks he doesn't have to explain anything. Meanwhile, Dan says, interestingly, this is turning into a witch hunt for Andrew. He's being used as a scapegoat by the FBI. Scapegoat for what or for whom, Dan? I guess it's a view, and we will return to this after the news. Also after the news, we're going to be celebrating that gold rush yesterday.
It's gold! A gold medal for Great Britain! In the mixed team snowball cross, Charla Banks and Hugh Nightingale find themselves at the top of the podium.
Fantastic. Absolutely thrilled for Charlotte Banks and Hugh Nightingale, the BBC providing that commentary, by the way. The mixed team snowboard cross. But have you really tuned in to the Winter Olympics? Or is this the moment with fantastic success? I say again, I'm thrilled for all of the athletes. Are you now suddenly going to start tuning on and learning about skeletons and slaloms and, I don't know, toboggans? I have no idea. We'll talk about it after this. 7:30, breakfast with me, Nick, for our LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
There are fresh calls for police to investigate Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's ties with the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. It follows claims that Andrew forwarded confidential information to Epstein when he was a trade envoy in 2010. A man accused of murdering 15 people at a Jewish event on Bondi Beach has appeared in court for the first time in Australia. 24-year-old Naveed Akram is accused of opening fire at a Hanukkah celebration in December. And the government says it'll respond more quickly to close loopholes in laws designed to protect children online. Plans being considered include restricting the use of VPNs and limits on speaking with online chatbots. LBC weather. A windy day with scattered showers and sunny spells for most. Some of those showers turning wintry on higher ground. A high of 10 degrees.
LBC. Nothing beats that electric feeling of live sport. As the proud automotive partner of Team GB, Vauxhall is supporting Britain's extraordinary athletes through every nail-biting, glue-to-the-box moment. Vauxhall is working towards a better future for our nation with its electric vehicle range, including the compact Vauxhall Combo Electric Van, made in Britain for Britain. Head to lbc.co.uk and tell us about your own extraordinary work fees to win £1,000.
Tuesday night on a sofa, watching telly with Mum again.
Male hawkers stay with their mothers for life.
This is the moment Stephen chose to speak to Barclays about Mortgage Boost, so he could borrow more with help from family or friends. We're helping first-time buyers get on the property ladder sooner. Search Barclays Mortgages. Barclays. Make money work for you.
Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Subject to application, financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
A southern train is a place where you can wind down and catch up. A chance to let conversations flow and plans unfold. And swap doomscrolling for telling stories. Too good for the group chat. Make the journey part of the joy and save 1/3 with off-peak group tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:33, we'll talk more about Andrew Mountbatten, Windsor, the police dragging their feet. They can't get away with it, can they? We'll talk more about that. And we're going to be talking about the Winter Olympics and the Gold Rush. And someone who clearly was celebrating long into the night is Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM, because behind him I can see two, I assume empty, certainly the corks are out, of a rather expensive champagne, which I won't name because I don't want to embarrass him. It is actually probably my favourite drop. It's a super champagne, beloved by Winston Churchill. That's all the clues you're getting. Editor-in-chief City AM joins us now, but it's from champagne to a rather more modest tipple we're going to start with. What's happened to the former big dog of Brewdog? Christian, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. And I thought that your favourite champagne came from Lidl.
Well, yeah, that's when the family are coming round. When they go home, I get that one out that's behind you.
All right. Well, these ones behind me are purely decorative and empty and gathering dust. But, yeah, my more modest tipple of choice. And I do actually have a pack of Brewdog's Wingman in the fridge here. That's who we're talking about today, yes. Brewdog. I think a lot of people will be familiar with them. They do actually have some of the top brands of what's called craft beer in the country. And they also have around 70 bars and pubs. And they employ over 1,000 people. But their story is quite an interesting one. And the most recent twist in which is that they are calling in financial advisors to oversee a sale of the business, which could lead to a breakup of its footprint. Now, Sky News broke this story over the weekend, and that the board has appointed restructuring experts to look at interest from potential bidders and consider the consequences of what any such sale might mean. Now, they lost about 40 million quid last year. So things are difficult for them. The makeup of the business is quite interesting because when they were at their height, sort of 2009, 10, 11, when they were known for being this sort of punk brand, they had their co-founders, James Watt was one of them, who went on to become quite a controversial figure in the business. They sold shares to the public, and a couple of 100,000 people took part in that, putting in an average of 400 quid each. Now, if this business is sold off and broken up, most of them will lose out. Some of them have done quite well because they sold out last time round when there was an opportunity to do so. It's being reported by Sky News that James Watt, who stood down as the brewer's chief executive a few years ago, is now rallying interest or canvassing interest to see if he can put together some sort of group to buy the business back. But as I say, he did leave under something of a cloud as a controversial chief executive. Insiders at the company say that the culture has improved dramatically since his departure. Well, he would say, I'm sure, that the culture might have improved, but the business hasn't. So they have faced mounting pressures and mounting losses. As I say, about 1,400 people employed by them here in the UK, and their bars are mostly in London, but also even in Las Vegas. So there's quite a footprint to consider, and the advisors will now start looking over the books and seeing what its future might consist of.
Christian, certainly a week never goes by, often a day doesn't go by, without we hearing about job losses. But now employers are looking to cut hiring for another reason.
Yes, well, I think it's important to remember, when we do talk about job losses, there are always reasons behind this. Now, sometimes those are business-specific. Businesses fail. They could be sector-specific, because sectors go through particular challenges of their own. But it's also the case that overall government policy, government trajectory, conditions of economic confidence do drag things down. And we have talked a lot about the impact of the Employment Rights Bill, the government's flagship workers' rights reforms. And you know, for over a year, Nick, I've been conveying to you the concern of employers and indeed employment experts and economists who say this is not going to come without a cost. And indeed, we see that now being borne out. More than a third of employers are set to cut back on hiring because of the employment rights reforms. That is according to the latest survey from the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development. 37% of the 2,000 businesses that they polled said they will reduce recruitment of new permanent staff as a result of the changes in that bill. Now, the government said that the changes, or they conceded that the changes will cost businesses about £1 billion a year. But the CIPD, which is the trade body for all HR departments across the country, said that that analysis did not fully account for the amount of time that HR teams will spend on implementing these changes. Changes which, of course, come on top of tens of billions of pounds worth of tax increases on employment. I'm just trying to find a very nice line that comes out of the report. That's right. One of the experts said that their findings are at odds with the expectation of government. Well, I think I'll leave it at that.
Well, just before I get you, I'll ask you, why is this sound ringing up a bit of a... It goes twice. I don't have one. Ringing up a bit of a storm. Christian, this is a Ring, of course. Ring doorbell.
Yes, I don't know if you saw the advert for Ring doorbell during the Super Bowl, but it sort of showed a neighbourhood using all of their Ring doorbell surveillance footage collectively to find a missing dog, and it didn't land very well. Most people looked at it and thought, that's a bit dystopian, this sort of full surveillance across the neighbourhood. With all these cheerful, smiling people looking out for each other. Well, Amazon had a partnership with a firm in the States called Flock Safety, and there was an agreement under which that Amazon, who bought Ring a few years back, was going to share the footage from these doorbells with Flock Safety, which itself has an agreement that it shares footage with US law enforcement. And obviously that has sparked something of a backlash, and it's not unrelated to the conditions in the United States at the moment around their immigration enforcement, the ICE officers going around the country. So this was a very politically contentious arrangement. Amazon has now said that they're going to scrap that partnership and end that deal. And a spokesperson for Flock told the BBC that this was a mutual decision, that actually it probably allows both companies to serve their respective customers and communities. So I think if you have a Ring doorbell currently owned by Amazon, for the time being at least, it seems they're not going to be sharing that footage, whether it's to find a lost dog or something else, with US law enforcement.
I'll leave you to tidy where the empties. Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, thank you. Talk around the same time tomorrow. Joe, we'll talk about Andrew Mountbatten Windsor in a moment, but let's celebrate. Let's enjoy some good news from the weekend.
It's gold! A gold medal for Great Britain in the mixed team snowball cross. Charlotte Banks and Hugh Nightingale find themselves at the top of the podium. It's gold again! It's gold once more! Unbelievable! This is indeed a Super Sunday. Matt Weston and Tabby Stoker.
Commentary from the BBC. Let's turn to Sean Ingle, who's chief sports reporter and columnist at The Guardian. He's joining us from Livigno in the Italian Alps. He's a man who knows his curling from his luge and his skeleton from his biathlon, and joins me now. There seems to be in the commentator's voice a degree of almost surprise. Were they expected to win, Sean? Or did this come out of the blue, as it were, on the snowy slopes?
Well, I'm 6,000 feet up in the Italian Alps, and if you had told me a week ago that Team GB would win two Winter Olympic gold medals on the same day, I would have assumed the oxygen had gone to my brain. But yes, it really happened. I think the mixed skeleton was, they were favourites. Skeleton is a very high-tech sport like F1. The Brits invest more than anyone else, so that was expected. But the mixed snow cross wasn't. You basically, four of you bond down a hill. It's random, it's chaotic, it's mad, and Team GB won that one too.
How does this rank for Team GB? What did they go in hoping to achieve? Have they already exceeded their expectations, Sean?
Well, the medal target was 4-8, and there was a bit of a slow start. We had a bunch of fourths, and there was a little bit of nervousness in the camp. But three gold medals is the best at any Winter Olympics ever. Team GB has never won more than one before.
Oh, wow.
Team GB's up to 12th in the... sorry about that. Team GB's up to 12th in the table, and going great guns.
How much more to go? How many more days left are there of the competition, Sean?
We go up till next Sunday, so still plenty of medal chances. Starting tonight, we have Kirsty Muir. She'll be jumping in the big air. That's when you go off a big ramp and try and do a big trick.
Oh, wow.
The men's curling. We have the best men's curling world in Bruce Mowat. There's obviously a bit of a cheating scandal with the Canadians accused of double touching. Exactly. And they're one of the big rivals, so that could get quite tasty.
All right.
And also in the half pipe, which, is crazy. You bomb down a big ramp and do other things. We have the favourite there as well, so there could be more medals to come.
Lastly, with all these allegations of cheating and skullduggery, how wise is it to have the biathlon? Who came up with the idea of skiing and shooting? It's an extraordinary concept for a sport, isn't it?
Well, I think you have to go back to the original sort of Olympics, really. You had the modern pentathlon, which was a sort of based on sort of being a soldier, where you could ride, you could shoot, you could fence. And this was the Winter Olympic version. And so, you know, Baron de Coubertin, the Frenchman that invented the Olympics, was very big on sort of, you know, masculinity and soldiering and all that stuff.
We should wrestle with wolves. We should have one where Team GB and others have to wrestle with a wolf to see who survives. Read all about it. Sean's got virtually the whole of the back page in The Guardian today. Well done, Sean. Have a good week. Sean Ingle, chief sports reporter and columnist at The Guardian, joining us from Livigno in the Italian Alps, 7:43. Joe, let's come back down to earth and talk about Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. That comes down with a thud. But, hey, we celebrated the glory. And good luck to all the athletes and, indeed, all the spectators, all the Brits out there. Have a great time. Joe's in Wandsworth. What sort of time should Prince Andrew be looking at? Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Well, what sort of a sentence he would get, who could say?
Well, he has to be charged first, of course. What do you think happen next?
I think that all of the people that would normally have been around him, the close protection officers, the MI5, MI6.
Tony was saying,
How comes that was suddenly not working?
But don't you think they've got everything? I think there's a number of police officers with all the relevant Royal Protection Officers' notebooks, and they're sitting there and they're thinking, well, they might be waiting for orders on high. Is this going to go away, or are we going to have to take some action? Isn't that the reality?
Possibly, yeah. I don't know why they're sitting on it. I have the feeling that you're probably right, that they're hoping it's just going to go away. But
public opinion is everything for the royal family. If they hope it does go away, if no action is taken, would it do a degree of damage in how you view the royal family in public, Joe?
There's already been damage done. I'm not particularly a royalist, but there's already been damage done that I don't know how they'd row back from, to be honest. But let's face it, his brother is part of the governance of this country. You know, the crown is a part of what governs us. So will he ever get what his real just desserts? I very much doubt it.
Joe, thank you. Just to say, of course, the king, yes, is absolutely right. I mean, he doesn't have executive responsibility. That's obviously down to an elected government, but you're right. All the courts are held in his name and the name of the monarch. You're correct. Joe, thank you. Coming up after the news, that's one front page story we've covered. Oh, coming up in the next hour, another front page story. You're not going to believe it. I didn't tell you at the time because we're doing this later. More than 70 boat migrants who had mobiles seized when reaching the UK have won payouts totalling £500,000. This is because we took their mobile phones to see if there's any data we needed, and it's a breach of their human rights. So we've paid them £500,000 for taking their mobile phones. I mean, quite incredible. That's in the next hour. But coming up after the news, a different front page. Under 16 social media ban could be in place this year. Here's Science and Technology Secretary Liz Kendall.
Organisations like the NSPCC, the Molly Rose Foundation, the Internet Watch Foundation warn about the risks of a ban, that if you have a ban, it will all just push it underground.
And Liz Kendall will join us after this. Just turned 7:46, LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The former business secretary, Sir Vince Cable, has joined calls for an inquiry into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's ties with Jeffrey Epstein. The government says it'll move more quickly to close loopholes in laws designed to protect children online. And it's emerged tens of thousands of pounds in compensation has been paid out to asylum seekers who crossed the Channel in small boats after their phones were unlawfully seized. LBC weather, a windy day with scattered showers and sunny spells for most. Some of those showers turning wintry on higher ground, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Still very slow on the M1 southbound to Junction 9 at Redbourne after an accident that happened earlier, although all the lanes are now back open. But then also on the M1, it's very slow northbound to Junction 13 at Bedford after a car was on fire earlier and two lanes are now closed for recovery. Still quite busy on the M25 anti-clockwise to Junction 20 at Kings Langley after a car broke down earlier, although that's now being recovered. Albert Bridge remains closed both ways for the emergency repair work, so definitely expect delays over Battersea and Chelsea bridges. And on the trains, there are delays of about half an hour on Avanti West Coast and London North Western services between Watford Junction and Milton Keynes Central.
This is LBC.
Get that Euro Millions feeling with this Friday's £109 million super jackpot. So super, you've got to dance.
So let's dance like never before.
On a beach?
On your own private island.
Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Subject to currency fluctuation. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can wind down and catch up. A chance to let conversations flow and plans unfold. And swap doomscrolling for telling stories. Too good for the group chat. Make the journey part of the joy and save one-third with off-peak group tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
It took me less than 30 seconds to request my repeat prescription on the NHS app.
That's quicker than making this brew.
And I save time by not ringing the GP practice.
Win.
Plus, with notifications turned on, I know as soon as I get a new message.
Big win.
So there's more time for this tea break.
So did you go to that restaurant?
I did. It was so
good. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Request repeat prescriptions and turn on notifications to never miss a message. Tap the NHS app.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees. Like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Just getting the line through to the relevant government Secretary of State, so which gives me an opportunity to feature some of your emails and texts that are coming in. The conversation we're having is Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor, and this growing sense, not just from commentators and journalists, because they don't really matter that much, but a number of MPs, including Vince Cable and Priti Patel, that police do need to now take some action. Or, of course, looking at it the other way, say that there will be no action. This is what you're saying, as I say, on the texts and emails. Jim in Lincoln, I think this is tongue-in-cheek. You're being far too harsh on the former Prince Andrew. Just check the reservation book at the Woking branch of Peachtree Express, and that should corroborate everything. It's a farce that a man, that this man is, and the garbage he believes, and he thinks we're all going to swallow it. Same subject, this comes in from John. This could look very bad for both the Met and Thames Valley if this goes on much longer. I have nothing but sympathy for his brother, King Charles, but he must realise there has to be a police investigation. After all, if his brother is telling the truth, what does he have to fear? Well, I'd better just say, of course, Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor denies all those charges. Let's go to other matters, and I think I'm in a position now, yes, I am, to bring into someone conversation and tell us what would appear to be good news. Children could be banned from social media as soon as this year, under powers announced by the Prime Minister. This is a speech I understand the Prime Minister will be giving later today to parents and young people. Someone who knows far more than I, well, at least about this, is Liz Kendall, who is Secretary of State for Science, Innovation and Technology, and joins me now. Good to have you on, Secretary of State. What are we going to hear from the boss, from the PM, later today? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Well, today the Prime Minister is going to announce that we are taking further action to keep children safe online. We're going to be closing the gap in the legislation so that AI chatbots are covered by protections to stop illegal material being available for everyone and harmful material for children. We are going to immediately change the law so that in the terrible situation where a child dies, that we can automatically preserve online data in case that is relevant in terms of the child's death, so it can be investigated.
Sorry, what happens now? Sorry to talk over you, Secretary of State, but
no, that's fine.
What is that changing then?
So we introduced, Peter Carr, my predecessor, something called data preservation notices, so that in the event of a child dying, you can ask Ofcom to get the companies to keep that data for an investigation. But we were hearing from bereaved families, especially Ellen Room, who's campaigned for this, for because of what happened to her son Jules, for that to happen automatically, because coroners weren't doing that automatically. So we're going to change the crime and policing bill as it comes back to the Commons to make that happen. And the third thing that we're doing is saying, like, lots of people have said, you know, we've launched this consultation on keeping kids safe online, including the option of a ban on social media. Lots of people have said, well, why don't you do it now? Do it now. It's happening. It's urgent. And so we are taking a power in the children's bill, which is coming through Parliament, to enable us to implement the results of that consultation very quickly. And some other steps, just to finish on this, Nick, which is that that could include things like stopping stranger pairing, you know, on games consoles for children, live streaming, but also stopping children being able to send nude pics on apps, but also receive them. So people want us to act swiftly. And one of the things I think is really interesting here, Nick, is the technology is changing really, really quickly. But it took us something like almost 8 years to pass and implement the Online Safety Act. 8 years. I mean, you know how the technology is changing. So I think, just like we have a finance bill every year, we're going to have to start thinking about updating our legislation around technology much more regularly. And this is our, you know, determination to do things properly, but move as quickly as we can. Because I think I've said to you before, patience is not my greatest virtue.
That is a very interesting idea. Would you and your colleagues be ready to do effectively an annual statement from the Secretary of State for Science, Innovation and Technology?
Yeah, you've got to, because look, AI chatbots weren't around when we passed the Online Safety Act. So some of them are covered. If you chatbots use live search, or if they share content between users, they are covered by the Online Safety Act. But if it's just you and the chatbot alone, they're not. Now, and we've heard lots of things about young people sort of developing this personal relationship with the chatbot like it's a human being, and some terrible consequences of that. So we don't know how this technology is going to change. And the truth is Parliament is... Politics seems very frantic, doesn't it, Nick?
Yes.
But sometimes it's actually very, very slow. And we can't allow that to happen as technology is moving so quickly.
You referenced your predecessor, Peter Kyle. He came in sometime last year, I can't remember precisely when, to take calls from our listeners. And he did say that there would be the possibility to levy some fairly eye-watering fines against some of these
firms. It's up to 10% of their relevant worldwide revenue.
How many of those, that level of fines, have actually been levied, Secretary of State?
Well, quite a few actually have.
What, 10% of their own?
No, not 10%, but fines have been levied. There's also the power, Ofcom has the power, that if a company repeatedly refuses to obey the law, they can block them. And you'll remember, Nick, during the whole debate about when Grok was sending these vile nude pics of that of women and children, that I said we would support Ofcom if it uses the full force of the powers that, you know, Parliament has given them. And Elon Musk and X changed. Now, we are going to vigilantly check that they have changed. But, you know, we need to make sure the law is up to date, but also that the existing law is enforced. And that's what we're determined to do.
If I take you to Australia, which I think you'll admit are at least pioneering some of these ideas, you'll be aware that youngsters down there are using VPNs, virtual private networks, to get around the ban. What are you looking to do in the UK that would lock that down?
So part of this short 3-month consultation that will launch very early March, we'll do that, and we'll come forward with our proposals before June. We will look at how we can stop the use of VPNs for anybody who wants to get around the... Look, children and, you know, young people and children throughout the ages, Nick, have tried to get around things,
yes,
haven't
course.
They? I bet you did when you were young.
With considerable success.
Indeed. I probably shouldn't admit that myself, too. But
well,
so what we're trying to do is not make the perfect the enemy of the good.
Right.
We have to put in place the right framework. We've got to hold... This is the other thing. We need... It's the tech company's responsibility. They need proper enforcement from Ofcom. But we as lawmakers have got to put in place the right guardrails, because our life is very much online now. And one of the things throughout all this I also want to say is, even if we do go ahead with a ban, and we're consulting on that, we've also got to prepare young people for the future, because, you know, at 16 they would go online and see all of these things. We've our life is as much online as it is offline, and we have got to face up to, well, actually Parliament and government's got to face up to this, because it's parents right across the country are worrying, are we going to give them a phone, when are we going to give them a phone, how are we going to manage it properly? We've got to help everybody manage this. We've got to put the responsibility where it lies, which is on tech companies, but we are responsible as the government to put the guardrails in place, and that's what I'm determined to do.
Let me conclude by an aspect you said. We live our lives online. I hope you've had sight of a story on the Sun newspaper, which is related, that more than 70 boat migrants who had their mobiles seized when reaching the country have won payouts totalling £500,000. Judges have ruled that taking their phones and data and looking online was illegal, in breach of European human rights laws. It is feared now that there could be a wave of these claims, each person getting in the region of £6,500 per phone. That can't be right, can it?
No, it can't. That happened under the last government, and the Borders Act changed that so that that is no longer possible. That's my understanding of it, Nick. I mean, your viewers will think that's absolutely terrible, and that's why we acted.
So that doesn't continue now?
That doesn't continue now.
OK, thanks for your time. That's cleared that up. Liz Kendall talking about the new move now. You'll hear more from her boss, the Prime Minister, PM announcing powers to act within months to keep children safe amid technology changes. Thanks to Liz Kendall, Secretary of State for Science, Innovation and Technology. We've got to 8 o'clock. News is next on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, there are fresh calls for police to investigate Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's ties with the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. It follows claims that Andrew forwarded sensitive information to Epstein when he was a trade envoy in 2010. The former Liberal Democrat business secretary, Sir Vince Cable, has urged officials to check for possible corruption. Legal commentator Joshua Rosenberg has told Nick that any investigation will be complex and take time.
He's passed on information which may or may not be confidential. That's a matter of argument. He would undoubtedly say that it was his job to pass information on to selected people, perhaps even inside information, which would encourage people to invest in the United Kingdom. Police might say there's no justification for passing on that sort of information, especially if it's alleged that you're getting some financial benefit from it.
Thames Valley Police says it is assessing claims following the latest release of Epstein files. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor denies any wrongdoing. The government says it'll move more quickly to close gaps in laws designed to protect children online. Sir Keir Starmer says no platform will get a free pass on children's safety. The Prime Minister is due to give a speech later today. The Technology Secretary, Liz Kendall, has just been outlining some of the changes while speaking to Nick.
We're going to be closing the gap in the legislation so that AI chatbots are covered by protections to stop illegal material being available for everyone. We are going to immediately change the law so that in the terrible situation where a child dies, that we can automatically preserve online data in case that is relevant.
The man charged with murdering 15 people at a Jewish event on Bondi Beach has appeared in court for the first time in Australia. Naveed Akram is accused of opening fire along with his father, who was shot dead at the scene in December. Some urged tens of thousands of pounds in compensation was paid out to migrants after their mobile phones were unlawfully seized. The money relates to some asylum seekers whose phones were confiscated after arriving in the UK on small boats in 2020. A Freedom of Information Act suggests the government has paid out £200,000 in claims to more than 30 migrants. The Home Office says the compensation was a result of the previous government's policy, which no longer exists. And Team GB will be hoping to build on what is already a record-breaking Winter Olympics in Italy in the women's skiing big air final later. Britain has three golds from a single Winter Games for the first time. In the city, the FTSE 100 has just reopened at 10,446 after closing at 43 on Friday. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, a windy day with scattered showers and sunny spells for most. Some of those showers will turn wintry on higher ground with a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Because you bought your robot vacuum on your Barclay card, you got 0% interest for up to 24 months, which makes watching it, hypnotically sweeping up your crumbs, even more satisfying. Oh, missed a bit. What you buy is your business. Helping you pay less interest is ours. Barclay card. Make money work for you. Subject to financial status, new customers only. Representative example, 24.9% APR representative variable, 24.9% purchase rate per annum based on £1,200 credit limit. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, it's 3 minutes after eight on Monday the 16th of February. Let's get back to that new social media crackdown. There's nothing as precious to us, I would suggest, than our child or our children. And if this in some way makes their life safer, but we do need to, as I explored with the relevant government Secretary of State, be aware of what youngsters down in Australia are doing. So will this actually make a difference, and how do you police the time that your child or your children spends online? In other news, and again with our children, it's being reported more than 60 cases of measles now in Enfield, and if you have any knowledge of that condition, that illness, whatever you want to call it, you know the speed at which it can multiply. Some children have been hospitalised. Director of Public Health at the local council, Enfield Council, Dudu Sherarmi, has told LBC...
The key message is to ask households to check their measles, mumps and rubella vaccination status.
Yet another story involving our children. 11,000 children as young as four suspended from school amid record rise in classroom violence. We'll look at that. And then once they leave school, what about the problems of getting a job? Britain's youth unemployment now, the worst in Europe. The worst in Europe. Shazia Ijaz is from the Recruitment and Employment Confederation.
Indeed, the rapid increase in the national minimum wages over the last few years is bound to have an impact.
And with all this negative news, shall we celebrate a bit of good news? And happy birthday!
I'm certain that it's great to be a cat.
Well, it's great if you're Larry the Cat down at number 10. He's now 15 years as number 10's mouse catcher-in-chief, serving six prime ministers, having met countless presidents, princes and other prime ministers and princesses. He's 19 years old. His official title is Chief Mouser of the Cabinet Office. 19 for a cat. I thought we did well getting Wendy to 17, but have you got a cat older than Larry? It's later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
And while Larry the Cat might not be front page news, he is, by the way, I have to say, spread across two pages in three or four of your newspapers. Just lovely to see him. He arrived in David Cameron's time, by the way. And there he is, being cuddled by Cameron, Rishi Sunak. Even Liz Truss gets in there. She's only there for about half an hour, don't she? She had her picture taken with the cat. But more on that later, because the front page of a number of the papers is a story we were just exploring within the last 20 minutes or so. Yeah, 20 minutes or so. Children could be banned from social media as soon as this year, under powers to be announced by the Prime Minister. He is making a speech later today. Well, as I said, I spoke with the Science and Technology Secretary, Liz Kendall. She told me a little bit more about what the government is announcing and why the government is carefully considering a ban for those under 16.
Lots of people have said, you know, we've launched this consultation on keeping kids safe online, including the option of a ban on social media. Lots of people have said, well, why don't you do it now? Do it now. It's happening. It's urgent. And so we are taking a power in the Children's Bill, which is coming through Parliament, to enable us to implement the results of that consultation very quickly. And some other steps, just to finish on this, Nick, which is that could include things like stopping stranger pairing, you know, on games consoles for children, live streaming, but also stopping children being able to send nude pics on apps, but also receive them. So people want us to act swiftly. And one of the things I think is really interesting here, Nick, is the technology is changing really, really quickly. But it took us something like almost 8 years to pass and implement the Online Safety Act. 8 years. I mean, you know how the technology is changing. So I think, just like we have a finance bill every year, we're going to have to start thinking about updating our legislation around technology much more regularly. And this is our, you know, determination to do things properly, but move as quickly as we can. Because I think I've said to you before, patience is not my greatest virtue.
That is a very interesting idea. Would you and your colleagues be ready to do effectively an annual statement from the Secretary of State for Science, Innovation and
Technology? Yeah, you've got to, because look, AI chatbots weren't around when we passed the Online Safety Act. So some of them are covered. If you chatbots use live search, or if they share content between users, they are covered by the Online Safety Act. But if it's just you and the chatbot alone, they're not. Now, and we've heard lots of things about young people sort of developing this personal relationship with the chatbot like it's a human being, and some terrible consequences of that. So we don't know how this technology is going to change. And the truth is Parliament is... Politics seems very frantic, doesn't it, Nick?
Yes.
But sometimes it's actually very, very slow. And we can't allow that to happen as technology is moving so quickly.
You referenced your predecessor, Peter Kyle. He came in sometime last year, I can't remember precisely when, to take calls from our listeners. And he did say that there would be the possibility to levy some fairly eye-watering fines against some of these
firms. It's up to 10% of their relevant worldwide revenue.
How many of those, that level of fines, have actually been levied, Secretary of State?
Well, quite a few actually have.
What, 10% of their own?
No, not 10%, but fines have been levied. There's also the power, Ofcom has the power, that if a company repeatedly refuses to obey the law, they can block them. And you'll remember, Nick, during the whole debate about when Grok was sending these vile nude pics of that of women and children, that I said we would support Ofcom if it uses the full force of the powers that, you know, Parliament has given them. And Elon Musk and X changed. Now, we are going to vigilantly check that they have changed. But, you know, we need to make sure the law is up to date, but also that the existing law is enforced. And that's what we're determined to do.
And as I said in my interview, we're going to hear more from the Prime Minister, as is often the case, the details of what he is expected to say are leaked, and he talks as, just quoting now directly, this is what he's expected to say, I hasten to add, as a dad of two teenagers, well, at least he's not talking about the son of a toolmaker, as a dad of two teenagers, I know the challenges and worries that parents face making sure their kids are safe online. Technology is moving really fast, the law has got to keep up with it. So he's obviously referencing, I'm sure, as if you've got teenagers in your life. I don't now. Of course, I did have teenagers, but social media really wasn't invented then. So I suppose something for which I must give thanks. Is it going to work? Will Guyatt is LBC's technology correspondent and joins us now. They've got the looming presence of what's happened or what is not quite working in Australia to contend with, haven't they, Will? Good morning.
Good morning to you. Yes, they have. And when this was hinted to me yesterday afternoon, Nick, I was trying to work out what was new in this conversation. They like going round and round in conversation here. There are loads of different loopholes and gaps in the Online Safety Act, and I'm intrigued to know which ones they're choosing and why they are choosing them. A couple of months ago, we did an LBC investigation. I worked with Helen Hoddenott on a piece about Steam, which you remember, the online marketplace. We were told then by the government and Ofcom there was nothing they could do because it wasn't covered by the Online Safety Act. So stuff like that would do something to protect younger people online, yet doesn't seem to be being looked at the moment. Failings in how they've put this stuff together. They're saying they're going to do an investigation into virtual private networks, and that's the thing that tricks people in. It tricks your computer into thinking you're in Stockholm and not in Swindon, which means you can then get past, you know, the age ratings and blockings. They're now trying to ban the tool rather than fix the problem. So there's all these kinds of bits and pieces that I'd love to hear more information on from Keir Starmer and the government. But there is no doubt the Online Safety Act, even though it created and passed a year ago, is woefully out of date.
Lastly, as an expert, when the Prime Minister speaks later today, what will you be specifically listening out for, Will?
I want detail, Nick. I don't just want we're going to tackle the problem of what's happening online. I want to understand what he is actually going to do rather than saying internet equals bad.
Fascinating. Will, thank you. We may well come back to you or I'm sure one of my colleagues will come back to you through the course of the day. Will Guide, LBC's technology correspondent, 12 minutes after 8. Let's get your voices on the radio. That's what we're about in the morning. Nick's in East Dulwich. Nick, what will you be specifically listening for? Do you have issues with teenagers as well, controlling their social media? Morning.
Hello, Nick. Nick from John Ball School.
Hello. Good to see you. Good old John Ball School. Go ahead.
I've got a teenager. She's 17 now, so right. She's at legal age.
Yep.
Now, I've been in the IT game for 35 years, right?
You've been in IT for 35 years, did you say?
35 years.
Gosh, right. Okay. You've seen some changes.
Oh, big time. So anyone in the IT game will tell you that IT tech is out of date every 6 months, right? There's a change every 6 months. So anything
How
out,
do you keep it, up?
It's constant training. Constant. God, constant
exhausting.
Training.
Exhausting.
That's why I'm retiring this year. right. So, the thing is, what it's all good for their saying, it's good for newspapers and good for wording and all that kind of stuff. But in reality, what they're trying to do is never going to be able to happen. And it's all to do with VPNs.
Yeah.
It's to do with VPNs, okay? Because VPNs, the only way they'd possibly do it is if they had the backing of the mobile phone manufacturers to block the VPN service that they offer for free.
And just to remind everybody, Will Guard explained that's why you can pretend to be in Stockholm rather than
Indeed.
Swindon, just to use
Indeed.
What Will's...
However, go ahead. However, mm-hmm. then they have the trouble with the companies that are external from independent companies. And I'm not going to name particularly any of them, but there's one of them that's well known. It's advertised on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That if you subscribe to that, then there is no way that you can stop the online pretending you're in another country and so on. The only way you can do this, and this is how myself and my missus did this with our daughter.
Oh, well, that's exactly what I was going to ask. Come on, let's bring this home, literally. How did you, with a small p, police your daughter's social media?
Is you talk to them, okay? It's the parents that have to do the talking and the policing. I know that's difficult, right? In some parents.
The only reason I puffed my breath out was that there are a lot of parents who don't care, Nick. Clearly, you
that's
and your wife
problem.
Care.
That's the problem, Nick.
Right.
Is that the parents, it's a nasty word to say, but they don't care.
No, they don't care. It's true.
That's the problem.
It's true.
And.
I could take you for a drive through Dulwich and parts of where you live, and I could show you the kids, poor souls, who have there's no point in them going home because there's nobody who gives a damn about them if they get home. No one cares about them.
No. But that is the only way, I'm an IT guy, so I'm an IT professional guy. That's the only way that you're going to be able to
But did she ever say, oh, Dad, stop it, all my girlfriends are okay, or did she buy into it?
Plenty of times. However, she also saw... because it's always on news media, the bad side of social media.
Do you think we have a job to do here, Nick? Should the media be doing more? And if so, what?
Well, the trouble is, again, the thing is, these companies, social media companies, they're there to make money.
Yeah, of course they are.
They're there to make money.
Yeah.
They don't care about people or people's rights or well-being and so on. They're there to make money. So the only way... And the same with social media, same with media, newspapers and all that, and join this app on is to make money.
Let me ask you lastly, your daughter, is she looking to go to university? Does she want to get a job? Because we're going to talk now in a moment about how youth unemployment is the worst in Europe now in Britain.
She's at college, she's doing film media and photography.
Oh, okay. So that's what she wants to get into. Well, at least that is a boom industry, and the United Kingdom has a tremendous reputation, so I wish her well with that. Nick, give her my best. Thanks for that, both as a dad of a teenage girl and 35 years in the business. So how do you police your child or your children, particularly if they're teens? Social media will have more on that. And a story I just mentioned, our youth unemployment rate in this country now has risen above Europe's for the first time. Roman Dibden is a youth employment expert and told LBC...
Had many of these conversations before about the current youth unemployment crisis. The wage increases are one facet to this, but as we know, it's a real complex issue.
And we're talking about people aged 16 through 24. Is that you or your son or your daughter? We'll take your calls on that. It's 8:16, LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The technology secretary has told Nick the government will move quicker to close gaps in laws designed to protect children online. The former business secretary, Sir Vince Cable, has joined calls for an inquiry into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's ties with Jeffrey Epstein. and it's emerged tens of thousands of pounds in compensation was paid out to migrants after their mobile phones were unlawfully seized. LBC weather, a windy day with scattered showers and sunny spells. Some of those showers will turn wintry on higher ground, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays continue on the M1 southbound to Junction 9 at Redbourne after an accident that happened earlier, but all the lanes are back open. Long delays on the M1 northbound to Junction 13 at Bedford because a car was on fire earlier and two lanes are closed for recovery. Very slow on the Surrey stretch of the M25 anti-clockwise between Junctions 13 at Staines and 12 at the M3, and that's where a lorry has broken down. On the North Circular Road, there are delays northbound to the Barking flyover. That's following an accident. And on the Kidbrook Park Road in Kidbrook, there are northbound queues to the A2 junction. A van's broken down and one lane is closed. It's also having a knock-on effect to the A2 from the Danson interchange.
This is LBC.
The great thing about potential is it has no concept of time. It doesn't care what day it is or how old you are. It doesn't care where you're from or what you used to do. It simply waits patiently for the day you decide to use it. So go on. See how a training course like Skills Boot Camps or Essential Skills can help you make the most of your potential.
It all starts with skills. Search Skills for Life.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
With up to £3,000 every year towards career growth at Amazon, I started in the warehouse, knowing I could train in things like coding or robotics. It turns my job into a career. So it means I can be who I want to be, even if I haven't quite decided who that is yet.
Amazon, opening doors with up to £3,000 every year towards career growth. Eligibility conditions about type and duration of employment apply.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed tele addict.
Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison.
Listen, speak to me.
And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done. You should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Go where umbrellas are for cocktails. There's still time to get up to £300 off city breaks in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Or get flights from £28 one way. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Limited availability. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATOL protected. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Coming up, the sheer frustration of trying to get a job, particularly for a young person. Look, it's frustrating enough at any age. It's been a long time since I found myself in that position. It's as we came into the, unbelievably came into this century. But it's pretty ugly when you haven't got a job, particularly if you've got a young family. I've been there a couple of times. But just think, for a lot of these people, they've never had a job. So they've done everything right. They've gone to school. They've worked hard, they've gone off to university, as is the current sort of thought, or I won't say mantra, that's unfair, but the current, let's say the current flow is that way, and they rack up, as we know, debt, £70,000-£80,000, just about covering the interest payment per year, never actually attacking the capital. Then they try and get a job, and there are no jobs out there. If that's you, or someone in your family, your sons, your daughters, we'll come to that in a moment. But let's take another call on the social media ban. I think we've talked about it enough. Now you hear the headlines. You're going to hear a lot more later in the day from the Prime Minister. Will it work? Scott's in Glasgow. Where does the job need to be done? Is it the companies themselves? Is it the government? Where's the pressure point in your view? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Basically, I've got a son who's about to turn 12, and right. He will have no social media at all.
Right.
What
about when he's 15?
When he's 15, no. I still say no. Ooh. And one of the things with it is, which, and I disagree with the last caller a bit, is, and agree, The onus is on the parents. Because when my son asks for a new app on his phone, I have to approve it, or his mum has to approve it. Mm. It's password protected, and that's it. So he cannot download those apps. Mm-hmm. Even with a VPN, he cannot download those apps at all. Mm. So if the parents do care, it should be password protected. under their account, because at 12 or 13, you're too young to have your own account with Android, Apple, you know, the other phones.
So, Scott, when you talk to the mums and dads of your lads' mates, are they all doing the same sort of thing?
No.
What do they say to what you're doing? Do they say, wow, that's a bit strict, or, oh, I'd never get away with that? How do they respond?
Well, we had a chat to rugby training the other day, and they are...
Can we not talk about rugby, if that's... I know you're in Glasgow, but if we... And you've got a name, Scott. But if we could just... if we could just move on a little bit, I'd be grateful, Gregor.
Sorry. Half of them are split. You know, they say it's fine, but then some of them actually look at their children's phones, because they're only 12.
Mm-hmm.
So they are taking responsibility, but I think there's a blanket no. He has to approve it, and then that's it.
Do you have a child older than 12, Scott?
No, I've got 12 and an 8.
I really admire the stance you're taking. I just wonder if I'm still alive and you ring me in 2 years' time, when England will have beaten again in Murrayfield, whether you'll have said, "Oh, Nick, I did try it for a year or so, but it got so ugly, I just gave in." How would you respond to that, Scott?
I'm digging my heels in.
You are, okay.
Big time. And the school, the primary school, are really good, because they go over internet safety constantly with them for it. So, and there's a blanket ban in the school with phones, and the secondary schools are having a blanket ban. So they're trying to get it little by little through to the kids.
Lastly, is there a role for government here, or does it come down to like you, mum and dad, more?
Well, the VPN thing's not going to do anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not going to, because it's the downloading of the app. That's the thing. If you can download the app, you can get into it.
Yeah.
But maybe if there's like an age verification on the app rather than the VPN, because I use VPNs at work, and lots of people do, because it's supposed to protect you from being hacked, basically, that way. But I think the government,
all right.
I think they should.
I've joked a couple of times about the rugby. Are you a rugby bloke?
Oh, 100 what? Oh, yeah. Wow. I was there yesterday.
Were you at Murrayfield?
Yes, I was.
What a performance by you. Why do they only play like that when they're at home against England?
Well, I think last weekend was such a washout in Rome. So, that's not an excuse. So that is an excuse. I don't know. We just.
Oh, you monstered England. You absolutely monstered England. In every scene. No, well done. The better team by a country mile won. Listen, it makes for great Six Nations. If you could see off the French shirts, we'd be grateful, Scott. Can I leave that to you?
I'll try my best.
Good man. Look after the lad. Thank you. Bill, you're the next caller on that. But let's talk about other matters. Now, when that gentleman's lad is a bit older, he might be looking for a job. And sadly, currently, unemployment among 16 to 24-year-olds has jumped to 15.3%. What does that mean, Nick? Well, here's the thing that jumps out at you. That's the highest than the rest of Europe. The highest since figures began. And it's the first time... since figures began, the first time this century, first time since the year 2000. So if you've got someone in that age group, or indeed you are in that age group, how difficult is it? Let's get some background before we take your calls. Louise Murphy, Senior Economist at the Resolution Foundation. Why is it... I appreciate it's hitting young people across the rest of Europe as well, but why would it appear to be hitting our young people in a far greater number? Good morning.
Good morning. So I think, this really reflects two things, some good news in Europe and some bad news here. So I think the first thing we should remember is that the European average is actually getting out better. And that reflects that some countries in southern Europe, Spain, Italy, that have historically had really high rates of youth unemployment, have seen things get better in recent years. Historically, they were doing much, much worse than here in the UK. But at the same time, and what's probably more interesting to people here, is that things have genuinely gotten worse in recent months and years.
In what way got worse, Louise, if I may call you that?
Yes, of course. So I think the first thing is just in general, a loosening of the labour market. So among all adults, the vacancies have been falling and the employment rate has ticked up. Mm-hmm. So that's true for all adults, but often when that happens, it is younger people who are really at the sharp end. And when we look in detail at what's happened in recent months, lots of the falls in employment have been concentrated in the sectors where young people are really most likely to work, places like retail and hospitality, where hiring there has really slowed down, meaning if you are a young person looking kind of for your first step into the world of work, it is much harder than it used to be.
Should the government, could the government be doing more, either one or both?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is there is emerging evidence that some of the things the government has done have made this problem worse. So, over the past year or so, we have seen policy actions that have had an impact on the labour market, including the increases to the minimum wage and the change to employer national insurance. Again, it's very likely that has had this impact on those low-paying sectors like retail and hospitality. So we think the government should tread carefully in the future about these changes, which do increase the costs of hiring young people. I think then there's also room for the government to go further in targeted actions to help young people. When you look at some of the countries that do really well, places like the Netherlands that have very low youth unemployment rates, right, it's very normal there to have, you know, a steady settlement of help for young people that are looking for work.
All right, Louise, I hope you don't find this a personal way. I think you're from Scotland as well. You're Scottish as well, aren't you?
Yes,
and you were probably watching. I mean, what have they done because of the rugby? Are we only going to talk if Nicola Sturgeon's on line three? Just tell her I'm not in. Are you a rugby person, Louise, or does it not mean
more of a football person? So I'm hoping that we can have similar good luck in America.
Right, okay. Thank you for that, Louise Murphy, who's Scottish and senior economist at the Resolution Foundation. Right, that's it. Right, no more. Who? Rod Stewart. No, you can come on tomorrow. Just tell him we can wait until tomorrow. No more Scots. Let's talk social media. And if, by the way, you one of your children, son, daughter's trying to do a good job, do give me a call. Bill's in Hounslow. Are you Scottish?
No, I'm certainly not Scottish, and I think they were absolutely lucky on Saturday.
Oh, no, they weren't. No, they
didn't. Come on. I was lucky that England didn't turn up, Nick.
Well, yes, it didn't ever get off the bus. All right, I'll give you that. Bill, the point you want to make about social media...
Well, I think it's awfully strange, Nick, that my granddaughter, when she's 15 years old and 364 days, she can't watch social media, but the next day she can enlist, and if this government has their own way, she'll be out to vote.
What do you think should be happening, Bill?
I'll tell you what. Do you remember the good old days, Nick, when they used to have parents?
Well, I'm grateful, and hopefully I did my best, but not every kid does, Bill. That's the reality.
Yeah, that's fine, but if the kids that haven't got parents, they must have family, they've got grandparents, or they're in care, whatever. It's very sad, I know, but the thing is, it's not just the social media, Nick. It's the parents' responsibility is waning now. I mean, the teacher's got to teach them how to be potty trained. You know, they're even
I know. It's not the kids' fault, Bill. No, I know.
It's not the kids' fault. But the thing is, kids nowadays, do you honestly think that they're not going to find a way around this?
Of course they are. No, I mean, even the government, I think, accept that. Bill, thank you. Look after the children. Jane, please stay on the line. You're exactly the person I want to speak to. You are in that age group. You are trying to get work, and I want to hear your personal story. Bill, thanks again for yours. We're going to talk about a measles outbreak. We need to be aware of that. That's at schools. Currently, the outbreak is contained to London. Here's clinical lecturer Professor Bharat Pankhania telling LBC.
If you are not immunised and the measles virus is circulating, it will find you.
More on that after this. It's 8:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC News. Dominic Ellis.
The technology secretary has told Nick the government will move quicker to close gaps in laws designed to protect children online. Liz Kendall's told LBC that ministers are considering including restrictions on the use of VPNs and limits on online chatbots. Former business secretary Sir Vince Cable has joined calls for an inquiry into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's ties with Jeffrey Epstein. It follows claims that Andrew forwarded confidential information to Epstein when he was a UK trade envoy. Andrew has always denied any wrongdoing. And it's emerged tens of thousands of pounds in compensation was paid out to migrants after their mobile phones were unlawfully seized. The money relates to some asylum seekers whose phones were confiscated after arriving in the UK on small boats in 2020. LBC weather, a windy day with scattered showers and sunny spells for most. Some of those showers turning wintry on higher ground, a high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's come out, it's not worth it. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job. Done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
At
Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduced packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on 2025 Amazon packaging data across the UK and EU.
For years, petrol set the benchmark. Hybrids cost more. Efficiency paid extra. Today, BYD reset the benchmark. Electric intelligence costs less than petrol. Advanced technology, real efficiency, no compromises. The BYD C-Lion 5 DMI Super Hybrid SUV from just 29,995. Find out more and book your test drive at byd.com/UK.
The Philly cheesesteak is back at McDonald's and it's still intensely cheesy. Imagine the cheesiest thing ever. Now cover it in cheese. Add two beef patties, cheddar cheese sauce, crispy onions and even more cheese. The Philly cheesesteak. Did we mention it's cheesy? Available until the 16th of March 2026 from 11 a.m. Fees apply to delivery orders. Price and participation may vary. Subject to availability.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:33. Good. Jane is in the north and has been able to hold. Jane, tell us your story. Thanks very much for holding. Morning to you.
Hi. Good morning. Long time listener. First time caller. I'm very nervous.
Oh, please don't be nervous. Great to have you on. I think you're right in the catchment area of what we're talking about. Tell me a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I started working full-time when I was 15, as soon as I left school.
And how old are you now?
I'm 24.
Right, okay, so you've been working.
And that's because my neighbour gave me an opportunity by letting me shred his paper and work in his office, and then eventually trained up to be a bookkeeper.
Well done.
And now I'm working towards becoming a fully qualified accountant.
Brilliant.
And I also worked in pubs from being 16 as well in my spare time.
Fantastic.
But I think if I hadn't had that break from my neighbour, who was a very generous and caring person who looked after me, then I wouldn't be in this position.
You left school at 15. Did you have many qualifications?
Yeah, I did well at school. I was actually head girl at school and I got all my GCSEs, A stars and A's.
Why did you not want to do A-levels?
Because, I had a dream of going to, you know, Red Brick Uni and being an academic, but by the time I did go to college for a little while to get my A-levels, and I was working still for my neighbour in the evenings and weekends. And when I was at college, I thought, what am I doing here? I might as well just work, because I wanted money and
To be a bookkeeper. Do you regret not having done your A's? Could that have made your training a little shorter, training time?
No, because I'm further ahead than the people who've been and done their A-levels and been to uni because I've done the apprenticeship route.
So when you're with a group of friends who are all roughly your age, 23, 24, 25, are they all in work? Are some of them desperate to get a work? Do some of them say, Jane, you're so smart, I should have started work at 15 or 16? What do they say?
I think the lads who work in construction and bricklaying and plumbing are all doing really well for themselves. And better than I am for our age. So if I was to change anything, I'd probably go back and do that.
Are the lads on the building sites are driving Ferraris? Did I hear that correctly?
They're doing better than I am.
Okay.
That's all.
What? So have you all your friends in work then? None of them are having any of these problems?
No. I do know quite a lot of people who aren't in work. And I think the issue today is that there is a lack of companies hiring young people. They say that they're putting all these apprenticeships out there, but they don't exist. I was lucky to get an apprenticeship.
Well, you obviously work. Tell me, have you got a great role model, work ethic for your mum and dad as role models?
Yeah, they both did different things. I think I've always just liked earning money and like being self-supporting.
Yeah.
And I've had the opportunities to do that.
Yeah.
I feel for people. I mean, I work for a very large global company and they're outsourcing everything. India, to Philippines, and this is just happening across the board. So there's no entry-level positions for people to get into.
All right, let's ask you finally then, what's the timeline? How many more months or years in training to be a qualified bookkeeper?
It could take me probably another 5 years, but I'm working while I'm studying, so
fantastic.
It's enjoyable.
You got your own place?
No, I live with my dad.
All right, okay.
Because I still can't afford to move out, I earn a good wage.
Give him my best. There's nothing to be nervous at. You were brilliant, Jane. Good luck. Well done. What a role model. But are you as fortunate as Jane? I'll take more calls on that. In fact, I think I'm going to hear from a mum with a very different story as regards their child, but that's coming up. Because children of a younger age, you might have already heard on LBC News bulletins, at least 34 children have been infected by what's termed a fast-spreading measles outbreak in several North London schools. Now, currently, it appear to be confined to the Enfield area, but if you know measles, it is likely to spread. These were confirmed in tests done last month. One GP surgery in the area reporting one in five children who contracted the illness have been admitted to hospital, all of whom had not been fully immunised. Goodness me. Right, Dr. Chan Nagpal is a GP in North London, in Harrow, sits on the Royal College GP Council and joins me now. I guess let's start at the very beginning, as it were, Doctor. What are the symptoms mums and dads and others should be looking out for? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick, as always. Yes, I mean, the symptoms actually in the initial stages can mimic a bad cold or cough with a fever. A few days later, a rash can develop. You can get spots in the mouth on the inside, and the child can be very unwell. I think the really important thing is that if a child is now unwell with a fever, rash, sorry, even before a rash, a cold or a cough, to actually suspect measles. And unfortunately, we as GPs are very alert to this at the moment, given the spread in the UK.
Why is hospitalisation necessary on some occasions?
The trouble about measles is it's not just a very contagious illness, but it actually can develop into complications. It can cause lung infections, pneumonia. It can spread to the brain and cause encephalitis, and it can cause other organ damage. So, in fact, it's the complications that result in hospitalization, and in its worst situation, can also result in death. In fact, we saw, sadly, I think one or two children died last year after having had a measles outbreak in the north of England, and there have been, I think, something like 34 deaths, or 184 measles deaths, actually, between 1979 and 2024. So it's a condition, it's an illness that really can be serious, which is why we have a vaccination program to prevent children and adults getting it and prevent spread. So there is a way of preventing this happening.
So has there been a drop in the uptake of the MMR then, Doctor?
Sadly, there has, and as a GP,
what are we
my
at,
practice
percentage-wise, do you know off the top?
Nationally, yes, nationally it's around 84%, and the recommended uptake should be 95%. That's a target by the UK. And what happens when 95% of people have a vaccine like the MMR is that it results in herd immunity. You effectively eliminate the spread, and in fact, the UK has lost its status internationally by the World Health Organization of having eliminated measles. That status was removed in 2024.
Do we know what the percentage might be in Enfield, Doctor, or not?
Yeah, in Enfield, it's got dropped to about 64.5%, considerably. And even where I am in North London, in neighbouring Enfield, we have rates well below 95%. And there is a real problem, a real concern that this will rapidly spread to neighbouring areas.
Lastly, if you've got a minute, unsurprisingly, questions are coming in from my listeners as I've got you on the line. One mum pointing out the advice is you get your children jabbed, but currently the NHS doesn't do it until babies are 12 months old. Will the NHS offer younger babies the MMR? Do you have any knowledge of that, Doctor?
No, I mean, there are reasons why the vaccination is offered at 12 months and now also 18 months. There are two jabs you need to be fully protected. I think the important message to all your viewers is that if you're a parent or if you're a person who should have had the measles vaccination and you've missed any doses or you have not had any, and of course, I want to focus mostly on parents, please don't think it's too late. You can contact your GP practice, you can contact a health visitor, you can easily receive catch-ups. Even if you've received nothing, you can receive catch-ups. And in fact, now you're protected against chickenpox as well, varicella. So
could you go
MMRV.
Earlier? Could you request?
No.
They won't
no,
do
you
it.
Can't.
Okay.
It's not that we won't do it. There are scientific reasons why it's given at 12 months onwards.
And lastly, should parents now stop taking children to parties, soft play areas and other events such as those?
I think if you're in the middle of an area where there is a large spread, then of course protecting your children by not mixing it will be important in those situations. But otherwise, nationally, I wouldn't say that everyone needs to be stopping mixing. But what I would say is, please, parents, think about, and anyone else who should have, but let's just focus on children. Please, if your child has not had the MMR-V, now it's called MMR-V vaccine, either one or two or none, please do contact your practice or health visitor and arrange to be protected. It doesn't matter if you've missed, you can catch up.
Grateful for your time, indeed extended time, answering some questions to Dr. Charn Nagpal, GP in North London and on the Royal College of GPs Council. I'm going to take your calls in order. I know some of you are in a bit of a rush, but Jenny has been in Watford, has been hanging on. You want to talk about the unemployment situation. This is for your daughter. Can I have a little bit of detail? How old is she? Good morning.
She's 18 in a couple of weeks.
Right.
But she did her GCSE. She passed the maths and English.
Yes.
And sixth form didn't want her because it wasn't high enough.
Right.
And so
did she want to go into sixth form? Had she hoped?
Well, she did, but right. We're quite glad she didn't now.
Okay.
But she went to college to do like a business course.
Yes.
And completely uninspiring. They don't do enough time at college. And the teachers never used to turn up. And if they don't get their maths and English, they have to do a lesser course.
Right.
And they're bored because they're not doing the actual course that they want to do.
Right.
And some of them are taking these exams over and over again. But she dropped out of college, much to the upset in the house. It was quite heated.
Right.
She sat there. She's applied for over 200 apprenticeships. She must have got about two or three back messages. She went one to a place for the NHS. The woman didn't even turn up to interview her.
Mm.
And I'm a bit nervous.
Don't be nervous.
And now, and now she's gone to an apprenticeship. She got the job. She is thriving, and it's in logistics. I'm so proud of her. She saved up for her car. She's paid for her car. She's paid for her insurance. The company are pushing her. She is going to all these different departments. It is absolutely amazing.
What is it and in? You haven't said what she's doing.
It's logistics.
Logistics.
I'm not going to say the company.
No, the company
have taken her on. She goes for day trips to things. And I mean, and it is really hard. They push her. And going into the real world, she had to face a panel of four people in the interview and talk. And the schools and the colleges are not preparing them for this. You have to go out there. You have to sit there. And you need a network of help to cope with rejection. She got rejected for something like 197 companies or didn't hear. And you need people there for her.
How did you keep her going, lastly, as mum? How did you keep her going, Jenny?
I don't know. I don't. You just have to be there, and you have to take the upset. You have to, and you have to be positive. But you've got to help them, and you've got to be hard. You cannot let them sit there in their rooms on their phones, and that is the biggest problem. But they have.
You must be so proud, lastly, of your daughter. She's done.
Oh, I am. Brilliant. She is. She's become this young woman, and she's changed overnight. But just her mixing socially in a workplace, she is so different. It is amazing.
Really, really pleased for you. Do give her my best wishes. Jenny, I don't worry you had to be nervous about it. You were fantastic. And what a lovely, positive story. Thank you. More calls coming in on that. We have to give you a news update, though. Coming up after the news, we'll be talking about someone who's been at number 10 Downing Street for 19 years. No, fortunately, none of the Prime Ministers. Rather, Larry the Cat has seen him come and he's seen him go. One of whom, by the way, has been talking about this movie. If you are struggling, it is the haunting theme from the movie Schindler's List. And Tony Blair, in an interview, said that's what guided his position, his stance, his efforts in politics. But how do you judge Tony Blair's efforts in politics? As he's saying, it was the inspiration. The movie was his inspiration. We'll take your views on that in the next hour. It's 8:46, LBC News Headlines Now. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer says no social media platform will get a free pass as he promises to strengthen online safety protections for children. The former business secretary, Sir Vince Cable, has joined calls for an inquiry into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's ties with Jeffrey Epstein. And the final set of hearings of the UK COVID-19 public inquiry is due to get underway later. LBC weather. A windy day with scattered showers and sunny spells for most. Some of those showers turning wintry on higher ground. A high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M1 northbound up to Junction 13 at Bedford. It's because a car was on fire earlier and two lanes are closed. Also very busy on the M25 clockwise from Junction 9 at Leatherhead to 10 at the A3. And also anti-clockwise on the M25, it's slow at Junction 13 at Staines after that lorry broke down earlier. Delays on the North Circular Road northbound to the Barking Flyover. That's following an accident. In Kidbrook, a car's broken down on the Kidbrook Park Road northbound at the A2 junction, and that's causing delays. And also in South Croydon, Selsdon roads had to be closed both ways for emergency repair work, so do expect delays in the area.
LBC.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted, but then came unexpected site fee increases, and that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan. Gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. Affordable cover with a cash payout. Search Sunlight Cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Everything breakfast at Ocado. Save on yogurt, cereal and get a great price on milk. So you can splurge on eggs, even from quails. Perfect if you have the urge to eat a dozen eggs, but you aren't that hungry. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket. Select lines only, geographical restrictions, minimum spend and charges apply. Offers end 24th of Feb. Terms and offer info at ocado.com/terms.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations, and Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
Stuck waiting again.
Tell me about it. I've spent all morning trying to get through to my GP.
Oh, I ditched that stress and joined Benenden Health. They've got 24/7 GP helpline. No waiting rooms, no sitting around.
Really? Sounds like a great service, unlike this one.
We're just about to get moving again.
Press play on your health with the 24/7 GP helpline and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee reviewed periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
This year at Amazon, we're increasing the electric vehicles used for deliveries across Europe to over 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where babies are made a fuss of, where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts, and where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden.
Can they have their ball back, please?
We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on projected delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU by end of 2026.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
10 minutes before nine, in a moment in praise of Larry the Cat, the Chief Mouser, 15 years behind the door of number 10. I think that's going to take some beating currently, isn't it? More on that in a moment. But Jake in Manchester, we're talking about the difficulty of young people getting work. Jake, what is it you want to tell me? Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, sir.
I just wanted to provide my point of view, I guess, from what you've been saying. I was in college from 2019, left in 2021. Then started working through an apprenticeship. That same year, volunteered with the police. Then a year later, joined full-time. So I've been quite lucky that since leaving college, I've been in full-time work.
Did you always want to be a cop?
No, surprisingly. It was a bit of a surprise to myself, actually.
How did you... I hate to use the word fall into it, but let's say, how did you get into it? That's probably more polite.
It was actually an ex-partner I was with. Her family were in the police. So I thought I'd give it a try, volunteering, and I just loved it so much I joined full-time.
Do you mind ask how old you are? Did you tell me how old you are? Do you mind my asking?
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm 22.
How many of your mates are struggling to get employment? Because you're right in the middle of this group that we have the highest unemployment rate in the whole of Europe.
Yeah. To be completely honest, I don't have a massive group of friends, so all of mine are actually employed. So I feel like I'm part of this sort of like privileged group because I don't feel to be affected by this.
Your whole career in policing, do you think?
I hope so, yeah, that's the plan.
What do you want to move into next? What aspect of policing do you want to go into next?
It'll be road policing.
Is it everything you hoped it would be?
Yeah, it is, it is.
And for young people thinking now, well, I wonder what life would be like being a copper. If you want to sell it to them, how would you sell it to them? You don't have to, but if you wanted to.
I would say there's big ups and there's big downs, but you get to meet a lot of amazing people and you get to experience a lot of things, so go for it.
Jake, thanks for the job you do. I know you've just finished your shift, your night shift, so you get some kip before you're out possibly tomorrow. Now, let's talk about someone else who's met some extraordinary people, prime ministers, presidents, and just about everybody else. I speak of Larry the Cat, marking 15 years as Number 10's mouse catcher, serving 6 prime ministers. The cat is 19. We did well as a child when we got our cat to 17. I was heartbroken because when I was born, Wendy was on the scene. I think I was about 14 when she went up to the great cattery in the sky. But what was the reason behind Larry being appointed? Well, apparently there's a photograph of a rat scuttling across Number 10. That is not a good look. So under David Cameron's watch, it was decreed, let's get a cat. And they went to Battersea Dogs and Cats Home and found a stray who was found in Wandsworth. For now, swapping Wandsworth for Whitehall. I have to say, I have seen Larry the Cat on visits many times. A more imperious cat I have never seen. If Dame Judi Dench were a cat, that would be... There's just this extraordinary, imperious view about it. But I'm sure jolly friendly. Someone who knows Larry well is Sir Craig Oliver, former Director of Politics and Communications, serving under David Cameron, and hosts the podcast Desperately Seeking Wisdom, to be found on Global Player. Sir Craig, good to have you on. Memories, and thank God he's still with us, but memories of Larry the Cat. Morning!
I thought your use of the word imperious was absolutely spot on. It was exactly what I was thinking when you rang me up and said, look, do you want to chat about him? And look, it's weird to believe that actually about 15 years ago was when I entered Number 10. I lasted just under 6 years there. And Larry's managed 15. And he's seen a lot come and go, isn't he? I mean, how many prime ministers, that kind of thing. But I think that you were right. He was brought in because some people had seen, like, you know, vermin in Number 10 and could a cat come and do that. But I also think his real function has been a kind of emotional support animal
yes.
to a lot of the people inside Number 10. And all the traditional reasons people really get a pet is actually the main reason why Larry was brought in.
There's a photograph of a very contemplative Lord Cameron, David Cameron as he was then, sitting, I imagine, in a study somewhere. His shirt's, his tie is undone. His sort of knot, his eyebrows are knotted rather quizzically. But he is stroking Larry the Cat. And this, as you say, Sir Craig, is the role the cat played.
Exactly right. So Larry used to wander all around Downing Street, and he had like Number 10, Number 11 and 12 are all joined up, and he would just wander around that, and he would move from my sofa in my office, which was in Number 12 Downing Street, and he would sleep there, and people couldn't sit down in meetings and that kind of thing for fear of moving Larry. And then he would just sort of wander through, and he would sometimes jump up on the cabinet table during a meeting, definitely onto the Prime Minister's knee. And yes, that picture isn't like Blofeld's it's like somebody who's actually rather affectionately glad to have something that can take his mind off things or ease the stress.
Does he love being loved?
He is very much a cat, which is an obvious thing to say. So he is, like, there are moments where you feel like he just doesn't care about anything and he'll disappear off. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in spending any time with anybody and I'm just going to do what I do. And then other times can be deeply affectionate. And the person who's responsible for bringing him in is a woman called Liz Sugg, who is in charge of events for David Cameron. She's now in the House of Lords. But I think she was absolutely spot on in terms of doing that. And Larry also, I think, has been a kind of vent as well. So he has his own Twitter feed, which obviously isn't really him, but able to comment on some of the events that are going on, which are often quite bizarre in the comings and goings of prime ministers.
Well, that's my final question. Do you think Larry gets upset by the revolving doors of Number 10? As one owner goes, another comes in, or he's just you? Oh, I see. We're swapping Liz for who? All right, here we go, Rishi. Morning.
Yeah, I think he's a cat. It's like, I'm still here. This is my domain. It's my territory. I can chase off other cats, and it's my place.
the things we've talked about down the years, Craig, and here we are, we've just done 4 minutes on a cat.
The most important one, Nick.
all the trouble you and I have been through and the occasional conversations we've had, I can't believe we've had 4.5 minutes on a cat. Great talking to you. Sir Craig, thank you. Check out that podcast, Desperately Seeking Wisdom on Global Player. Sir Craig Oliver, Director of Politics and Communications in Downing Street, under David Cameron, the man who brought in the cat. I need to tell you, the cat, there's great coverage in The Guardian, The Mail, The Times. The cat, as Sir Craig said, has its own government page. And these are the responsibilities of the Master-in-Chief. Quotes, greeting guests to the house, inspecting security defences, and testing antique furniture for napping quality. Now, I love the fact that the British government, that is sensational. The British government puts out a special, specific job duty for Larry the Cat, 3 to 9. Well, Larry's got a job, but how difficult is it for people in a certain age group to get a job? Joe's in Romford. We're talking about a child at university. Is that right? Morning.
Morning. Is Larry the Cat running for PM?
He'd win it. It would be a shoe-in. You see what you did there? Shoe-in.
Morning and thank you.
Hello, sir. Yeah, who are we talking about? You don't have to give the name. We're talking about a son, a daughter. What we got here?
My oldest, it took him a little over a year. So his first year, I'd talk to him. He'd be like, no, I'm all right. I've got I've budgeted and I've saved and whatever. I'm like, all right, cool. But you're going to have to find it. Eventually, he did find it.
Find what? Find a job?
It's at work at like a deli near the train station.
Right.
And I spoke to him just as a catch-up, and he said, the manager pulled me aside and said, you do know that this isn't a career. He's like, yeah, of course I know this. And he's like, then why do you work so hard? He goes, because now you need me. So my name is first on the roster.
That's good.
Well, the thing is,
what is his ambitions going forward, though?
He's studying law.
Ah, okay. With a view to being a lawyer?
Yes, and I do play devil's advocate and say to him, defence or prosecution, and he'll say defence, and I said, well, yeah.
But, is he the sort of lad who can pick a fight in an empty room?
No.
No, not physically, because he probably needs to be able to pick, because they need to be incredibly skilled if he's going to go into court and defend people or prosecute them.
Yes, no, what he does is he will stay quiet and let people trip themselves up because he understands the importance of consistency. But as parents, one of the things that we need to do is we need to enable and empower children. Mm. The lion at the zoo knows he gets fed regularly, rain, sleet or snow. Yes. The lion in the jungle has to work hard, graft. And we do this as parents sometimes. We overcompensate, like doing their shoelaces, carrying their bags, doing things for them, when really they need to have the work ethic to do it for themselves.
What age should that start, lastly, Joe?
From young. From very, very young.
Like 4, like, 5, 6? What are we talking about?
Yeah, the moment you're able to converse, they can walk and stand on their own 2 feet, we start to micromanage and sensitively manage the environment. Obviously, it has to be a managed environment. So, like, just a quick example, I'd play computer with my oldest, and I'd let him get close to winning, and then I would win, and he would throw a stinking tantrum. And I'd say to him, the tantrum isn't going to resolve the issue. The issue is you either quit or you persevere.
That is really interesting, because I know exactly what you mean there. As a dad, and I have two sons. It is knowing when you you can beat them at chess or whatever, but do you just take the fight? That's interesting, Joe. Music means I've got to go. Good luck to the boy. Thanks for all of that. Coming up after the news, Tony Blair says, Schindler's List inspired me in my role in politics, but how do you view Blair's role in politics? Plus, it was the gold rush.
It's gold again! It's gold once more! Unbelievable! This is indeed a Super Sunday! Matt Weston and Tabby Stoker!
Commentary from the BBC there. Have you been watching the Winter Olympics? What got you into the luge or biathlon, or will you tune in now? Those stories and more will follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, the Technology Secretary has told LBC that the government will move quicker to close gaps in laws designed to protect children online. Plans include restricting the use of VPNs and limits on speaking with online chatbots. A consultation on banning social media for under-16s is already underway. Speaking to Nick, Liz Kendall pushed back on suggestions that ministers are moving too slowly.
Lots of people have said, you know, we've launched this consultation on keeping kids safe online.
including the option of a ban on social media. Lots of people have said, well, why don't you do it now? Do it now. It's happening. It's urgent. And so we are taking a power in the children's bill, which is coming through Parliament, to enable us to implement the results of that consultation very quickly.
Police are under growing pressure to open a formal investigation into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's ties with Jeffrey Epstein. The former Liberal Democrat business secretary, Sir Vince Cable, wants claims of criminal corruption to be looked into. Andrew has been accused of passing sensitive information to the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein while working as the UK's trade envoy. Royal commentator Peter Hunt has told Nick pressure is also building on King Charles to act.
The really key, difficult thing for the King, I think he needs to make it very publicly clear that his institution is prepared to be accountable. And if that means opening up documents from 2001 to 2011, when Andrew was the trade envoy, then so be it, and they are prepared and will do that.
Buckingham Palace has said it stands ready to support police with any investigation into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. The former Prince Andrew has always denied any wrongdoing. A man accused of murdering 15 people at a Jewish event on Bondi Beach has appeared in court in Australia for the first time. 24-year-old Naveed Akram is accused of opening fire at a Hanukkah celebration in December. Submerged, tens of thousands of pounds in compensation was paid out to migrants after their mobile phones were unlawfully seized. The money relates to some asylum seekers whose phones were confiscated when they arrived in the UK on small boats in 2020. A Freedom of Information request suggests that the government has since paid £200,000 in claims to more than 30 migrants. The Home Office says the compensation was a result of the previous government's policy, which now no longer exists. And the final set of hearings of the UK COVID-19 public inquiry starts later. It'll examine the wider impact of the pandemic on society, including mental health, key workers and the most vulnerable. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 11 at 10,457. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.15. LBC weather, scattered showers and sunny spells for most today. Some wintry showers on higher ground, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
I've got that feeling.
Yeah.
Butterflies in the stomach.
Yeah.
My heart is racing. I'm smiling for no reason at all.
Yeah.
I can't think about anything else.
Well, what's their name?
It's Škoda.
With 0% APR for 3 years across the Škoda range with Solutions PCP, it's love at first drive. But this love story ends March 1st, so visit škoda.co.uk. Indemnities may be required, maximum 36-month term, Škoda Finance.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after nine, Monday, February the 16th. As Sir Tony Blair reveals, his approach to politics was inspired by watching the classic movie Schindler's List. I'll be asking you, how do you view Tony Blair's approach to politics? And how would you assess his impact? There's a documentary series coming out later this week. I'll tell you more on that in just a moment. In other news, nearly 11,000 children, some as young as four, suspended from school amid a record rise in classroom violence. I know it does sound like this story we've done before, but this is actually even more detail. And I'm afraid it paints an even grimmer picture. Plus, should we celebrate? It was a golden Sunday.
Obviously, staying on top of the podium. Like, I've been lucky enough to do it twice now. It was insane. Every time you're on there and you're seeing, like, say, family and friends shouting at you, probably a bit too loudly.
Team GB's Matt Weston, he's already got to be in the running, hasn't he, for what do they call it, sports personality of the year, one of thought. Anyway, Team Weston thrilled, Matt Weston thrilled at picking up two golds. He won the men's skeleton, then picked up a second yesterday alongside Tabby Stoker in the mixed race, obviously. I'll be asking, have you been watching from day one? Have the great events from yesterday suddenly turned onto it? And can be honest, have you ever been a fan of the luge or the biathlon?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
It was, according to a series of interviews he's recorded for an upcoming documentary, what inspired him to take the role he did in politics. There's a more more powerful movie theme? I can't think of it right now. John Williams, of course, that's the theme from Schindler's List. That film came out in 1993. As I mentioned, the Prime Minister is taking part in a documentary series. He said it had a large influence on him. It was released 4 years before he entered number 10. I mean, I would just say, if I was writing this, I'd be an asterisk here. He was an MP, I think, from 1983. So he certainly came into public life. Now, he wasn't Prime Minister, as we said, 4 years. Now, as if you need reminding, the film shows a German businessman who saved, it's believed, more than 1,100 Jewish people from the Holocaust by employing them in his factories. He taught him, these are the words of Sir Tony Blair, by the way, "You cannot be a bystander." I'll quote on, "It can lead you to right judgments and wrong judgments. But it's not just your job to look after your country. You owe some responsibility to the bigger world." This is part of the Tony Blair story, a three-part Channel 4 docu-series that starts tomorrow night at nine. They speak with his children, his wife, members of his cabinet and the core team, and they even speak with former President Bill Clinton. But let's end there. As we learn what that meant to him, what does it say to you about his stewardship of the country and his role in politics? Well, we'll have more on the impact of Schindler's List in a moment. But let's start with Scarlett Maguire, political commentator, former communications advisor to the Labour Party. Scarlett, do you get what the former PM is saying here? And if so, how and why? Good morning.
Good morning. My feeling is that it goes back before Schindler's List. He went into politics to change things. And if you read his biography, actually, what you can sum it up by saying, "I saw the Labour Party and I knew what it needed. I saw Britain, I knew what it needed." And then, of course, he saw the world and knew what it needed, but he never got there. One has to say that he was somebody who saw problems and saw solutions. And we might not always agree with them, but he certainly tried to do it.
We can see how he changed the United Kingdom, much for the better. Some would say much to the detriment. What were his ambitions for the world then, Scarlett?
I think to have it as an international rules-based place where actually, you know, I think he'd like to get rid of wars, get rid of dictatorship. But first of all, he would get rid of dictatorships. I mean, he saw very much, it was in the old American way of wanting the whole world to be a democracy, right? I mean, it was, you know, the Francis Fukuyama, the end of history, about trying. I mean, I think it's all gone wrong, but I mean, I think that's what he saw. I think the great shame about Tony Blair is Iraq, is it will always smear him. I think it ruined his life. I think it ruined the rest of his life. It meant he couldn't go on and do things. And it was a terrible, terrible mistake, which he's never admitted was a mistake, because actually he did do an awful lot of good to Britain.
Why can't he admit it was a mistake, do you think, Scarlett?
I think because he still thinks he did the right thing. It seems amazing that you look at the consequences, and he took a country that, you know, did have unquestionably a foul dictator running it.
Yes.
But he ran it, right? I mean, it was run, and then, I mean, Iraq turned into a morass. Both the Americans and the British had no idea of what to do once they got rid of Saddam. I mean, it was terrible. And, you know, we have them to blame for ISIS. I mean, they've left absolute chaos in the Middle East.
Lastly, from memory, he leaves public office in 2007, from memory. How fulfilled was he?
I think he would have liked to have gone on. I think he never ran out of things that he wanted to do. But I mean, as David Cameron said, he did change the country. Mm. You know, we walked into a country where we had, very anti-gay, very anti-single parents. I mean, it was a port country.
Yes.
And we came out and he changed it. I mean, he changed laws. We had thousands of children out of poverty. I mean, he had massively wonderful education. I mean, he did so much for education. It wasn't just him. I mean, what he did was, as the Chinese He let a thousand flowers bloom. I mean, he had excellent ministers and they did an awful lot of work.
Scarlett, I have as ever enjoyed speaking to you. Thanks for all the background. Scarlett McGuire, political commentator, former communications advisor to the Labour Party. Now, Scarlett, referencing the Iraq War, in these documentary series, Cherie Blair, his wife, reveals the psychological impact of the decision to go to war, which led to, of course, the deaths of 460,000 people, including 179 Britons. She says, quotes, "You could hear the protests in 10 Downing Street. It was a very strange time. I think it was hard for my children to come in every day. People were standing there calling their father a murderer and a liar. I don't know what I would have felt if I was out there rather than in 10 Downing Street. But what I did know was that when Tony said, as he absolutely believed, Saddam Hussein had those weapons of mass destruction, he told me that was the case. I absolutely know that that's what he thought was true." Let's come back to that movie, though. Hent Matzik is Israeli author and senior fellow at the Tel Aviv Institute, based in Tel Aviv. I'm sure you've possibly seen the movie on a number of occasions. How important is it, how educational is it, as to the horrors of all those years ago? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Yeah, I think it's crucial. It's such an important movie that tells the horrific story of this large-scale genocide of the Jewish people. And the Holocaust itself is not a moral Swiss army knife that politicians can just pull whenever they need to justify a controversial decision. It is a singular historical horror that deserves to be stand alone. And I think Blair is using this the term of a bystander to imply that anyone who opposed the Iraq war was morally indifferent to the suffering of the Iraqi people. And that's a false binary and a deeply unfair use of the Holocaust terminology. And specifically invoking this movie is trying to do just that.
Can I characterize it then that you find this offensive, Hen?
Personally, I do, yeah. I think, you know, life isn't a three-act a Spielberg movie, and it's not a Holocaust story that you can just bring up every time you have inconvenience or you made a decision that you feel you're still struggling with. Using a cinematic description of the Holocaust to retroactively vindicate decades of complex Middle Eastern policy feels to me like a moral conviction and more like a search for a Hollywood ending for a difficult legacy.
So as you heard this, or one of my colleagues phoned you and you said he's based his political stance on Schindler's, what went through your mind, Hen?
It just, you know, we're talking about never again quite often. We bring it up. And never again for me, and I think for many Jewish people, is a call to prevent the genocide. It's not a blank check for interventionism. When we use the Holocaust to describe every conflict, we end up diluting the meaning of the Holocaust. What it does, it desensitizes the public and actually makes it harder for Jewish people and for everyone to mobilize the public and to make the world understand when true atrocities are occurring.
Fascinating talking with you. Really appreciate your time today. Hen Matzik, Israeli author, senior fellow at the Tel Aviv Institute in Tel Aviv. So it's offensive and it's like a Swiss Army knife. You pull it out and use it as a tool when you need to. Or actually, Tony Blair's view of Schindler's List did inform him. He wanted to do so much good in Britain and the rest of the world. And that's why he makes that analogy, as it were. With that in mind, apparently guided by the movie Schindler's List, more than 1,100 Jewish people saved from the Holocaust. Is that how you would remember Tony Blair? We'll take your views on that. It's 9:15, LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Speaking to Nick, the technology secretary has said that the government will move quicker to close gaps in laws designed to protect children online. It's reported that Keir Starmer is considering making a significant increase in defence spending. And police are under growing pressure to open a formal investigation into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's ties with Jeffrey Epstein. LBC weather, scattered showers and sunny spells for most, some wintry showers on higher ground, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M1 southbound to Junction 12 at Flitwick. Traffic's currently being held, and that's following an accident. Very slow on the North Circular Road, northbound up to the Barking Flyover. There's been an accident and one lane is closed. There are delays on the A2 northbound up to the Kidbrook interchange. It's because a van's broken down. It's also causing delays on the Kidbrook Park Road as well. In South Croydon, Selsdon Roads had to be closed both ways for emergency repair works. And on the underground, there are minor delays on the Bakerloo line, but also minor delays on the Piccadilly line. And that's because of a strike and Northern Line trains aren't stopping southbound at West Finchley Station.
LBC.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad!
squealed me a mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use,
interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with three tips at gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
On a windswept walk in Carmarthen, while someone tries to use your card details to hire a speedboat in Cannes, this is the moment you relax, knowing that Barclays Advanced Tech has helped to spot the fraud in under a second, and their expert team are on hand to close it down. So you can get back to being windswept. Oh, just one of the ways we're protecting our customers 24/7. Search Barclays Fraud Protection. Barclays. Make money work for you.
Big motoring world are big on choice. But what does that mean for you? Well, we have thousands of cars in stock. So let's say you want a Mini, an electric one, in black, with a panoramic roof, Apple CarPlay, heated leather seats, rear view camera. Yep, there it is. Being big means we're more likely to have the right car for you. Big Motoring World, we're big on choice. See website for nearest store.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV, and here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
It was Schindler's List that guided my political actions, my political desires and juices. So says former Prime Minister Sir Tony Blair. This is what you're saying on social media. Martin is in Hyams Park. Recollections vary. Didn't Tony Blair also claim to have seen War Geordie, as in Jackie Milburn from the terraces at St James's, Newcastle, when he wasn't even born? Conclusion, choosing the law enabled him and others to present a false picture to others. Steph says, Blair took us into four wars, Kosovo, Afghanistan, Iraq and Sierra Leone, in 10 years as Prime Minister, a little over 10 actually. Jim says, I'm fed up with people looking back on the Blair years like it was a land of El Dorado. Blair received the best post-war inheritance from any government in terms of growth, low unemployment, debt ratio and even had a budget surplus. He and Brown continued with conservative economic policies in their first term, which they again received credit for. At the end of his second term, you could see the decline and the early warning signs of the economic crisis on the horizon. By the time he left office, he changed the country beyond all recognition with immense immigration and turned it into an ungovernable disaster zone. It's worth remembering, of course, his communications chief, Alistair Campbell, said as recently as last week that the country has become ungovernable. He did say that's down, of course, to the impact of both social media and mainstream media. And Stu in Dover says, Tony Blair's inspiration was brought to life with jawbone and English tones, Peter Mandelson to dramatise it, and glamorous, dubious historical detail. Right, there's not a lot of love in the room then for Tony Blair suggesting that Schindler's List was his form of political inspiration. So for now, let's move to other matters and a story of concern, and one we did touch on an aspect earlier this month, I think, or certainly in the last few weeks. And that is that thousands of children as young as four have been suspended for attacking teachers, as statistics show record violence in our classrooms. Numbers of reception-age children, that's the youngest year, of course, in schools, have been sent home for out-of-control behaviour, as well as launching attacks on teachers. Children aged four and five have also been suspended for fighting with fellow pupils, bullying, and even sexual misconduct and bringing weapons to school. Some of them aged four. Lee Parkinson is a primary school teacher and podcaster and author of This Is Your Own Time You're Wasting and joins us now. Just to clarify, Mr. Parkinson, are you seen events such as these in your classrooms or colleagues' classrooms? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm certainly hearing about it. Yeah, I'm getting more and more messages from teachers about incidents like this. And I think we should start by saying violence towards teachers is never acceptable.
No, of course.
You know, no one should be going to work expecting to be hit, kicked or threatened. But it seems to be happening more and more. The level and frequency of those serious behaviour incidents has increased. And, you know, I think this is going to have a huge impact on the amount of teachers leaving the profession, I feel. I think workload has been the number one reason for teachers leaving over the past few years. But I think that will be overtaken by behaviour before long.
What is recruitment and what is retention like at the moment, as you understand it?
Not the best. I mean, a lot of focus goes into recruitment, but I always say there's no point keep pouring into a bucket that's leaking. I think for the third year running, we've had over 40,000 teachers leave the profession, which shouldn't be the case when, you know, teaching should be one of the best jobs in the world.
What sort of incidences are you hearing actually taking place in the classrooms, Mr. Parkinson?
Well, it's things like that, children. I'm hearing more and more at that age group in EYFS of teachers being bitten, scratched, punched, hit. And, you know, we can talk about the suspensions. And suspensions is only ever done in the most extreme circumstances, purely out of safety of other children and staff. And it just seems we work in an environment that's just reactive to it all rather than proactive in looking at ways to prevent this happening. And I think we've got to look at the wider issues outside of school. And, you know, you look over the last decade or so and the cuts being made to, you know, parents obviously hold responsibility, but where can parents go when they need a bit of help and support? Because all that stuff's disappeared. Sure Start centres have gone, CAMS waiting lists are growing longer, behaviour support teams are reduced. So it's schools taking on more of that pastoral work when we've got fewer resources than ever.
What did a Sure Start programme provide for?
I think it just gave parents help, support, and ways in which to, you know, just sort of help with so many different aspects of parenting. You know, I've talked about it with a lot of things. You know, the whole screen time debate. Would we, you know, if we would have still had Sure Start centres now, would parents have had more of an understanding on how to get a better screen time balance at home and what to be aware of and things? So, you know, it is disappointing because it's the schools picking up the pieces. And when parents are under pressure and support services are stretched, children arriving at school without those social foundations they need. I think it's also important to mention alongside this, there was another study where 6 out of 10 children are starting school with speech and language difficulties as well. So I think that can be closely linked in that, you know, maybe a lot of that behaviour is out of frustration of not having the foundations to be able to communicate effectively to, you know, to tell teachers what they need.
Why would it appear that in some instances some folks seem to have lost the ability to parent, you suppose?
I think there's a variety of reasons. I think parents are under more pressure than they've ever been. I think the work environment, I think cost of living, those austerity measures. I think it's now that we're really seeing the impact of the austerity measures taken, what was it, 10 years ago or so. So I think there's a wide range of issues. And what we need really is we need, if we want those calmer classrooms, we need proper investment in that early year support. And we need, you know, family services.
Mr. Parkinson,
does
discipline not start at home?
Yeah, it does to an extent. And I think most parents, if not all parents, want the absolute best. But, you know, some parents may well need some support, some guidance on how to do the best. And I just don't think there's as much out there as there once was.
I mean, in the newspaper that this was featured in, and I don't expect you to have read that, that's my job, but a teacher told the Mail on Sunday, they work in the Northwest, quotes, "We have a reception class of 25, 6 are still in nappies. The kids are dirty, their clothes are filthy, it's lazy parenting, and these parents are letting them get addicted to screens too." That, in the reality, it does come back, to the most degree, to parents, doesn't it?
To a certain extent, yeah, and don't get me wrong, there'll always be some parents who need to do better. But for me, I look at it and just think, you know, for a parent now under the pressure they're under with work and the cost of living...
Haven't parents always been under pressure, no?
I feel it's worse now than it has been. Okay. I mean, as a parent myself, sure. I think
yeah,
it's
teacher,
a lot
so
harder.
You know, you've got two hats to wear here. Go on. Yes, of course.
Yeah. So, I think it is just a lot more challenging, and there's just not that support. I think for a lot of parents, the only place they can go to get that support is online. And as we know, the online world is an absolute nightmare. Don't get me wrong, there's probably some good stuff out there, but there's so much misinformation and confusion as what to do, what not to do. So, you know, it would be it'd be great if there was more investment in, you know, early year support, so parents can get that guidance, that trusted guidance, I think, is really important as well to make those better choices.
Lee Parkinson, thank you. You are a teacher, you're a parent as well, you're a podcaster, and you wrote, "This is your own time you're wasting." I'm not bright enough to be a teacher, so I don't know, and I'm certainly don't be smart enough to be in a primary school teacher, but this starts at home, doesn't it? Surely it's the role of mum and or dad that the child doesn't go to school dirty, the child doesn't go to school still wearing nappies, the child doesn't go to work school wearing filthy clothes. Haven't there always been pressures of some sort? Or is it unique to where we find ourselves today? Anne in Haywards Heath, what would you say, Anne? Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Nick. I'll try and get my point across carefully.
Right.
Because I ran two preschool groups,
yep.
And I had the children no one else wanted.
Right. Well, because they were difficult or something.
Punching, kicking, biting, right. You know, their behaviour, they would soil themselves. I had a great team. No, we didn't make any money. And the point was that after a while, all that behaviour changed. When we're not meeting the needs of a young child, they can't verbalise what's going on in their life. Only their behaviour will tell you things are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so important to provide that very safe place with sufficient staff, not one teacher and an auxiliary, which with 24, 25 children is not acceptable. And we've got it so wrong today for a large number of children. What I found was, the big part, was also helping the parents to parent.
But when did this happen? When did it would appear? And I take on board what that teacher says, and he's an expert and I'm not, that there are pressures. But so, surely, I'm sure my parents were under pressure. There's always been, I know I was, there's always been pressure, isn't there?
Yes, of course there's always been pressure. But the point is that so many parents, there are alcohol problems, mental health problems, things I wouldn't learn. I didn't know until I got close to the family.
But alcohol wasn't invented in the last 20 years or so. Is that unique to now, Anne? It's not, is it?
I'm sorry?
That's not unique to now. Alcohol
wasn't... It isn't. This was then. It's not unique to now. But I had time to help a parent to parent. ADHD, we call it now. They'd come in with that. But I discovered that as the child felt safe and secure, and I helped the parent to understand and to actually be a better parent, we gave them confidence.
All right. And thank you. Ian's in Southend-on-Sea. Ian, is this like a latest development, this idea of pressure?
No, it's just... it's infuriating, actually, Nick Ferrari.
Right,
I just wanted to say,
yes,
basically, you're giving ridiculous answers to not simple questions, really. I mean, you keep on saying about take the kids offline and don't let them near apps, don't let them near computers. I've got three children, right? All of them, their homework is done online through an app.
How old are they?
One is 13 in a grammar school. He has...
That's a bit different to four, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, I think when it comes to... Some of these children, they can't... They don't know how to read a book.
If you'd let me continue, Nick, I also have a three-year-old. She's nearly four.
Right.
She is quite autistic. You know, she's off in her own little world quite a lot of the time.
Right.
You can't get her attention, but when she is in the mood... she can read quite well.
Mm.
She can do maths quite well. She can do sums quite well. But to get her to sit down and to concentrate, it's not going to happen, right? Because you cannot get her to sit at a table. You cannot get her to sit for story time. But if you give her numbers and the rest of it, she'll be well away.
Right.
But because she's not going to do that in a mainstream school, because she needs that facility, but they don't have the send spaces for her, she has to go to a mainstream school where we're expecting her to be removed.
And there's no nearby special school.
There is a nearby special school, but because there isn't anyone of similar age to her, they don't think it'd be a good fit. So she's headed up to join the mainstream school.
How is she doing at what I'm going to call mainstream or regular school? How is she doing?
She's in a thin nursery at the moment. She has funding for one-on-one attention from a teacher, and then the same department, i.e. you know, council level, they basically talk to themselves and they agree, yeah, you know, the child needs a one-on-one setting, and then all of a sudden when it comes to mainstream school, no.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that.
I wish her the best, and obviously all your children. Ian, thank you. I've got to get to the news, but good luck with what you're trying to achieve. Richard in Faversham, I'm a single dad to two boys, 11 and 6, for the last 4 years. That teacher was right. Some parents can parent and do a good job. Some parents clearly need help. My boy's mum struggles to parent and needs help. Some parents want the easy way out, unfortunately. We'll continue that with you, Anne, and also reflect on yesterday's gold rush, as Team GB did so well at the Winter Olympics. It's 9:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrar on LBC. News time then, Dominic Ellis.
The Technology Secretary has told Nick the government will move quicker to close gaps in laws designed to protect children online. Liz Kendall's told LBC that ministers are considering restricting the use of VPNs and limits on online chatbots. It's reported Keir Starmer is considering making a significant increase in defence spending. It's understood Downing Street is exploring the idea of meeting the existing target of 3% by the end of the current parliament rather than the next. And the former business secretary, Sir Vince Cable, has joined calls for an inquiry into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's ties with Jeffrey Epstein. It follows claims that Andrew forwarded confidential information to Epstein when he was a UK trade envoy. LBC weather, scattered showers and sunny spells for most, some wintry showers on higher ground, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? A record 9 years running.
Simone combined her old pensions with PensionBee.
So I had multiple pensions from various jobs that I have been in, and every 6 months or so I would receive a statement, and I was losing track of all my different pensions and all the different statements. I just wanted one easy way of keeping them all in one place.
At PensionBee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to PensionBee.com and be pension confident. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Whether you still own it or not, if you had a diesel car built between 2009 and 2020, you could be entitled to compensation. Checking takes minutes at jointheclaim.com, and if successful, compensation could be worth thousands. Diesel emissions claims are still open for Ford, Nissan, Renault, Mercedes, BMW and Land Rover. Don't miss out. Join millions of drivers across the UK. Check your vehicle now at jointheclaim.com.
Join the claim!
The Volkswagen Fantabulous, Fandabby-dozy, Fandang-a-ding-dong fortnight is here.
Stop. We've been through this, Harry. It's the Volkswagen Fantastic Fortnight. Much snappier.
Oh, okay. From the 2nd to the 16th of February, the Volkswagen Fantastic Fortnight gives you an extra £1,000 towards your finance deposit on top of existing offers on the Polo, Golf, Tiguan and our all-electric ID 3, 4 and 5 with Solutions PCP 7.9% APR representative. It's the final weekend of the Volkswagen Fantastic Fortnight. Hurry, offer ends this Monday. Better?
Perfect.
Indemnities may be required. Volkswagen Financial Services.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
More on the success at the Winter Olympics and well done Team GB in a moment. We're going to learn more about curling, but let's talk about parenting first. Richard in Faversham, I think I just read your note out actually, Richard, which is of interest because you're a single dad, is that right?
Yeah, that's great, Nick.
How's that working out?
It's actually working out pretty well. When I separated from my ex-wife, the boy's mum, I moved out. She had them. But every time I spoke to them, it was like, oh, no, we're just playing games. We didn't go to school. So I came back to take charge of the life so they don't miss out on anything, really.
So did you move back into the house, you mean?
Yes, I did. I moved back into the house, looked after the boys. I'm a full-time worker, full-time single dad, and she's moved out.
Oh, right. I was going to say, you're not both living under the same roof, because that would be pretty tricky.
No.
So you really are, so you are bringing them up. You are dad. You're a single dad in every sense of the word.
Yes, yes. And that's what I was saying about it in the message. It's more easier to give a kid a tablet, to let them do what they want to do and not parent. Some parents can parent. Some can't. My mum was a childminder. She had five older sisters, and it was all family doing things together. Unfortunately, the boy's mum never had that, so just let them do what they want to do, and it kind of went backwards. But since I've taken them over, school's gone right up. They've got 100% attendance this year, and they're doing really, really well.
How have you done it?
It's just dedicated my life to them. It's after seeing how she had them, I've got to think, no, I can't let my boys go up in a certain life where they're not.
Well, let's back up a little. Let's back up. So you moved back in, and obviously, I mean, if you don't mind me saying, credit to your wife that she was prepared to, you know, ring the changes because it wasn't working for the lads, and that's the most important factor. So when you moved in, what, the children were just disinterested watching TV or doing? Well, hang on, what would they have been? 2 and 7. No, what were they doing all day?
All they were doing is when I used to speak to them, I'd get home to where I was staying when I moved down. I used to talk to them going, how was school? Oh, we didn't go to school. And it was a constant, we didn't go to school. And it was becoming an issue. And all they would do is, like, my oldest one, okay, he's a bit bad with the tablet, plays a lot of games. But my youngest one, because he's even bothered doing all of that, he'll play it for about an hour. Go, yeah, I want to play with dad. I want to do this. I want to do that. So you've got to keep them interested. And yeah.
So what? So how do you do that now? How do you make sure that that interest is maintained, Richard?
Oh, I just show them lots of things. You know, you're just going to do something. Do you want to go and do this today? Because of the Faversham, we're only 10 minutes. Close to the beach is 10 minutes. Oh, do you want to go to the beach? Or do
right,
go to okay. Or do you want to do this?
Okay. And did you say you have a job as well?
Yeah, I work full-time.
Wow. You must be exhausted come Sunday night.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, I'm up at 6 and then it's pretty
what's
much...
The nice job? What job do you do, Richard?
I'm a fire and security engineer, fire alarms and security.
Okay. Systems. And you manage to fit it all in?
Yeah, I do a 37 and a half hour week and then still. Okay.
And how are the boys doing? You said briefly, they are now going to school.
Yeah, they're going to school. My oldest is in his last year 6. He's got 100% attendance.
Good.
And he's on target. My youngest, he's 6, he's got a little bit of a speech problem, but only a speech problem, but he's actually doing really well.
Okay. And lastly, does discipline begin at home? Or is it, as the teacher was saying, we need to provide more programmes like Sure Start? What would you say?
Discipline begins at home. I had very strict parents. My parents are West Indian. So I had an old West Indian Jamaican upbringing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not as strict as my dad. Like, you've got to be a certain point. No, you can't do this. You can't do that. You can't let them get away with it and realise.
You say, well, I mean, I obviously I don't know. But what do you, when you say last, what is a strict West Indian upbringing? What does that mean? How does that show itself?
Don't be disrespectful to your elders, be disrespectful to the teachers, you're there to go to school to learn, to get something from it, you know, and it's just work, and I'm trying to show them that I work, I bring them up full time, you can achieve the same thing.
Good luck with the boys, they've got a great start, they've got a dad who's really interested, I'm sure their mum loves them as well, but you're really putting in a shift there, Richard, thank you for your input on that. We will take more calls on that in a moment, but let's reflect on a super Monday, the day after the day before, which was Team GB celebrating a record-breaking gold rush. They won 2 events in a day for the first time. Charlotte Banks and Hugh Nightingale won the mixed snowboard cross before Matt Weston and Tabby Stooker triumphed in the mixed team skeleton. Here's some commentary from the BBC.
It's gold! A gold medal for Great Britain in the mixed team snowboard cross. Charlotte Banks and Hugh Nightingale find themselves at the top of the podium.
It's gold again! It's gold once more! Unbelievable! This is indeed a super Sunday! Matt Weston and Tabby Stooker!
Now, of course, one other sport over there where I believe Team GB is expected it might do quite well is curling. So let's turn to Paul Davis, who's president of the Edinburgh Curling Club. So you weren't listening in the first hour of the show, Paul, but we're suffering a little bit of grief after events at Murrayfield on Saturday, and I had two Scottish callers in a row. Please tell me you're not a rugby fan. Paul Davis, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I am a rugby fan, and I have mixed allegiances. I was born in Yorkshire, but I've played golf for Scotland, so I'm English-Scottish. When Scotland win, I'm Scottish. When England win, I'm English.
Well, my goodness, your lads won brilliantly, and they deserve. The better team won without doubt on Saturday. Congratulations to you. If you could take out the French, we'd be grateful. Now, let's talk about other matters. Is it fair to say that curling sort of seems to come round every 4 years with the Winter Olympics, and then everyone forgets about it? Or is it boom, boom in the numbers of curlers?
No, I think your comment is probably fair. We have a huge amount of interest and people start watching the television to watch curling every 4 years. At Curl Edinburgh, we are very proactive and we run a lot of tri-curling sessions and become a curler courses. And we're very good at taking novices and turning them into curlers. But across the board, the numbers of curlers are pretty static and it would be fantastic if we could get a serious uplift in numbers.
How good is Team GB in world rankings, would you say, Paul?
Well, the man, Bruce Meyer, who hails from Edinburgh, he's the number one at this moment in time. And the difference between winning and losing at that level can be a 16th of an inch. That's all it is. Yeah. So it's pretty brutal. You play what you think is a perfect shot, and it rubs another stone and you set up a double for your opponents, and instead of you stealing a one or taking a one, suddenly you lose a two. So I think in the first in the game against Italy, where they lost a four, they were trying a run back for a three,
yeah,
went wrong, and they gave Italy a four. So that just shows you how fickle the sport can be.
What's the origin of it? How did it begin?
It started on farmers' ponds and hill lochs, chucking rocks down across frozen surfaces, and then it became an indoor sport when the weather got warmer, and there were very few frozen ponds during the winter and lochs during the winter.
How technical is it?
Oh, it's hugely technical. I spent some time working with athletes at British Curling and Scottish Curling, and these people are super fit, super agile, and very, very committed to the sport. And, you know, you see it on the television, it looks easy. Yeah. And if you ever want a shot, Nick, come to Curl Edinburgh and we'll take you on the ice. And you'll suddenly realise how difficult it is.
When they are, I'm going to say brushing or sweeping. What are they trying to do there, Paul?
What they're trying to do is momentarily soften the surface or melt the surface so the stone stays straighter for longer. Or at elite level, where you're actually trying to bend the stone, curl it a little bit more. So you'll hear the skip shouting straight to keep it straight or curl to curl it. And it does require a huge amount of pressure through the brush head to achieve that. Most club curlers are basically keeping themselves warm by moving the brush back and forth, but they're not having a huge effect. The elite curlers have an enormous effect.
Now, you talk about pressure. The pressure seemed to perhaps tell in a match between Canada and Sweden. As an independent expert, can you give us, A, what is alleged to have happened, and B, a view on all of that?
Well, the rule's quite clear. When you're delivering a stone, you can you didn't used to be able to double-touch the handle, but now the rule is you can double-touch the handle, or you can take your hand off it and then put it back on the handle and release the stone. What you're not allowed to do is touch anything out with the handle. So if you touch the granite with your finger or your clothing, your brush, or let's say you've got a tissue in your pocket and it drops out your pocket and touches the stone, that stone is then classified as burnt and it gets removed from play. And what seemed to happen, the video evidence seems to show that one of the Canadians touched the granite of the stone with his finger after he'd let go of the stone. And I believe the same thing happened to Bobby Lamy and Rachel Homan as well, so they had their stones pulled for the same offence.
And lastly, help us with this. Sorry, are medals still up for grabs in curling? Where do we stand? Are we in the quarters, the semis? Where are we?
No, we're still in the qualifying. Team GB men have a chance, a good chance of reaching the semi-finals, and then they're down to the medals. And the girls are currently playing Denmark at the moment in a close game. They probably need to win most of the remaining games to have a chance to get to the playoffs.
Really enjoyed our time. In the unlikely event I ever find myself in Edinburgh and I fancy a bit of curling, you are the man I shall look up. Paul Davis, president of Edinburgh Curling Club, and this week a Scotland rugby fan. No more people calling from Scotland, honestly. Barry's in Bucknell. Why do you like the Winter Olympics, Barry? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Yes, well, back in January, myself and my wife went to Latvia and Estonia for a little winter break.
Why did you choose Latvia and Estonia? No reason why. I've been to Estonia, it's quite fun, but why did you choose it?
Just somewhere different to go. We like travelling.
Okay. Yep. Good on you.
So while we were in Latvia, we went to Sigulda, which has a bobsleigh run.
Right.
So I paid my £30 and went headfirst down the bobsleigh track.
Oh, my God. And?
Not on the tea tray. You know, it's a thing that you can just sort of lay down and...
Is it like the thing out of Cool Runnings? One of those?
But it's got a bit of padding around it.
Right, okay. You're not just sitting on a tea tray.
No. So anyway, since then, I've been watching the Olympics with a critical eye, sort of working out where I could shave a couple of tenths of seconds off the other people's runs, and much to my wife's amusement. But,
yes. So, hang on, were you in it on your own, or your wife was on board with you?
Oh, no, she decided that she'd sit this one out.
Sorry, is it just you then?
Yeah, you just lay down in it, and they push you off and then bring you back up to the top of the run at the end of it.
Okay, how fast? Do you have any idea how fast you were going?
But she said the sign clocked up 106 kilometres an hour.
That's probably 80-something, isn't it? 90-something?
No, a bit less. About 60, 60, 65, I think.
But weren't you weren't nervous at all?
No, I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Okay. And were you into the Winter Olympics beforehand, or is it as a result of coming down that that ride in Estonia?
No, after watching it in previous years, I've always said that it was something that I wanted to do. So it was just fulfilling a little ambition.
Well done to you. Barry, thank you. Have you bought into the Winter Olympics as a result of the gold rush even? Can we hope for more medals, of course, from the curling? And we're talking, where does discipline actually begin as a record number of pupils, some as young as four, are suspended from school, in some instances, for sexual misconduct, aged four? What the hell? You've got to say social media. Where does discipline begin? We'll take calls on that as well. It's 9:46, LBC News Headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer says no social media platform will get a free pass as he promises to strengthen online safety protections for children. It's reported the Prime Minister is considering making a significant increase in defence spending. And the UK COVID-19 inquiry will begin its final set of public hearings this morning. LBC weather. Scattered showers and sunny spells for most. Some wintry showers on higher ground. A high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the M4 westbound, heading up towards Junction 12 at Thiel, just after the junction. So heading towards Junction 13 at Cheveley, there's been an accident and traffic's being held. The M1's still very slow, southbound at Junction 12 at Flitwick, and that was after an accident that happened earlier. Long delays on the Kidbrook Park Road in Kidbrook, northbound to the A2 junction after a van broke down. And it's also very busy on the A2 westbound from the Danson interchange. Now, these problems do continue on the underground. There are minor delays on the Piccadilly line. There's a strike affecting the Piccadilly line, and also minor delays on the Windrush line between Highbury and Islington and West Croydon.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
We need to spend more on defence, but we're not currently frightened enough of potential armed conflict. Can you riddle your way out of that one? And social media, what should we do?
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Sun Life's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sun Life, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sun Life cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
With a Little Plus Bakery Spin, you can get a free bakery coupon every time you shop. Just scan Little Plus at the checkout, spin, win, and enjoy a free bakery item. Mmm. Little. More to value. One spin per customer per day, subject to availability, ends 25th of Feb, 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/LPTV.
Discover the world of Dobble. Back in McDonald's Happy Meal. Race through the worlds of music, sports, space, and more. How quickly can your little one spot the match? Dobble's bursting with fun. Some fun, some food. It's all inside this Happy Meal. Until the 5th of March 2026, from 11 a.m, includes one pre-selected book or toy. Dobble range comprises toys only, while stocks last.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Why are you abseiling down the front of your house, Ross? You have a staircase.
I like doing things the hard way, Albert.
Try something easier, Ross. Get cheaper off-peak energy. It's available at different times, like during the day or weekends. Just get a smart meter and choose a flexible scheme or tariff.
Ooh, I could batch cook some quiche.
Perfect. With a smart meter, getting cheaper energy is easier than you think.
Eligibility varies. Action required. Schemes and tariffs available to selected customers.
For years, petrol set the benchmark. Hybrids cost more. Efficiency paid extra. Today, BYD reset the benchmark. Electric intelligence costs less than petrol. Advanced technology, real efficiency, no compromises. The BYD C-Lion 5 DMI Super Hybrid SUV from just 29,995. Find out more and book your test drive at byd.com/UK.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Coming to you, Charlotte, in a moment to talk about school discipline. Let's just feature some of the text and social media that's come in. We're talking about Tony Blair's legacy as his documentary series starts tomorrow night, in which he's interviewed, as is his wife and some of his children, even Bill Clinton, many of his staff, and he says he took his political inspiration from Schindler, Oskar Schindler, as in Schindler's List. Aidan in Liverpool, Blair's legacy on Kosovo, Sierra Leone and Northern Ireland were incredible achievements, all destroyed with Iraq and Afghanistan and a lack of understanding concerning the Middle East. Nikki in Kent, you're reading out too many negative posts. I think if you leave Iraq aside, which was a mistake, Tony Blair did a lot for the UK, improved the NHS immeasurably and education, brought our children out of poverty. The last time I was really happy was under Blair's administration. I had a few pennies in my pocket. We're also talking about the news that some 11,000 children, primary children, some as age as four, suspended from school. Some instances of sexual misconduct and bringing in weapons. Glenn simply says discipline should start at home. Jamie says being under pressure is not an excuse to fail to raise your children properly. The more to pander to weakness, the more it will prevail. Ray in Romford asks, teaching has become a majority female domain. Perhaps a larger role male presence would help. And lastly, before we go into the call, Charlotte, we also talked about the difficulty of people getting into work. Oscar says, I'm 16. I believe the current laws and regulations surrounding 16 to 17-year-olds are way too restrictive. A cap of 2 hours on Sunday is insane in the modern world. Little to work after school Monday to Friday is disastrous. How are people in school meant to maintain a job under these regulations? And lastly, this comes from Tim. As a former employee, some of the callers that you've just spoken with have the exact attitude I'm looking for, but sadly, too few are like that. Let's get back into the classrooms. Charlotte's in Harpenden. Charlotte, what are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Oh, hi, Nick. Big fan of your show.
Good to have you on.
I volunteered for a special primary school last year.
Yep.
And so the children there had, it was SMH school, so they had social mental health needs.
And these ages, the ages of the children were what, Charlotte?
They were primary age, so from 5 to 11.
Okay.
Yeah. What I saw from the first day, I honestly couldn't believe it. The first day I was there, within about half an hour of me being there, there was a boy who'd escaped over the school fence.
Oh, good grief.
The children were so fast that the teachers would have to go in cars to chase after them.
Good grief.
That was just the start of it on my first day. I was introduced to a little boy, and the first word he said to me was...
It's not a rude word, is it? Sorry to talk over you.
It was the B word.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was the first word he said to me.
How old was that child again, did you say, Charlotte?
8.
Good grief.
And the teacher who was with me, because I'm visually impaired, so I had a teacher helping me around, she didn't say anything.
So it was just accepted that this child can use the B word to a teacher or on a teacher's assistant, and no one says boo to a goose?
Yeah. But that was, there was lots of violence as well, spitting at teachers, one teacher was pulled to the floor by the hair. But I think...
Was this in Harpenden?
In a town next to mine, yeah.
I mean, for people who don't know, I know Harpenden. This is quite a wealthy part of Hertfordshire. It's not like we're talking about a really inner-city challenged area.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not in Harpenden itself, but it's on the outskirts, yeah.
Goodness me.
But I think what I found most shocking, Nick, was that the racism, because... I mean, perhaps I'm quite naive, but when I was, a child, I was I didn't really think about those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And I was working with a really sweet young boy who was a black boy, and he was really lovely. And he came to me and he told me that he'd been beaten up by his other classmates and called the N-word. And right. when I raised that with the teacher, I was so, so, you know, shocked
yes.
and by that. I told the teacher, and her response was, well, yeah, they do say that. They enjoy saying the N-word because they enjoy the reaction it provokes. And she seemed totally unshocked by it. And I said, well, what are you going to do to stop them being racist? And she was like, oh, well, you know, there's nothing we can really do.
Let me ask you, you've actually worked, and credit to you for doing this. Do you think discipline should start at home? Is it the role of the teachers? Where should discipline start?
Well, I think parents, definitely, it starts with the parents, because before they come to school, that's where they've learnt, you know, right from wrong.
Well,
but
you'd hope, yeah.
Well, you'd hope, yeah. But I think what I saw was that the teachers, I felt for them a lot, because I think they were literally scared of the kids, and they just...
How long were you working there?
About 3 months, but obviously this was voluntary,
yeah.
So unpaid, and so I thought, no, I can't do this.
What was the morale among the teachers? It must have been, if they're getting spat at and dragged to the ground by
constant staff absences, which, you know, they may have genuinely been sick, but I think, you know, their mental health was probably not good either.
Were there some kids, obviously I'm not excusing the use of the N-word or dragging teachers to the ground by that, but there's some kids you had sympathy for who this was all going on around them, and they were just decent little kiddies who were just trying...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there was a couple I worked with who had huge potential. Oh, one of
terrible.
Them, you know, he was really good at writing because that was something they didn't push in the school. A lot of them couldn't read or write. And I was working with him, and he was writing stories, and he was... But I just thought, he's never, you know, in that environment, how is he going to be able to succeed? But, yeah.
And those little ones, just last, as you rightly say, given a chance, they would probably settle down, they would try and learn to read, they'd try and do basic sums, but they're never going to do that if teachers are being thrown to the ground by angry and small children.
Exactly, yeah.
Lastly, when you left after 3 months, and I don't blame you, were you sad to leave, or did you think, no, this is just too grim, I can't take any more of this, it's just too upsetting?
Well, I was genuinely sad, because I worked with four kids, and the ones that I worked with were genuinely lovely, and you know, I could see that they were really happy when I came. They would always give me a hug, and...
Oh, that's lovely. Charlotte, thank you for the experiences, though. We've got open racism, open violence, and I'm not surprised teachers not turning up to work. Thanks for all your input, Charlotte. You had the last word of the day. I'm done. If you missed any of the show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinions. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. That's it. James O'Brien's the other side of the news here on LBC, but I'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, do stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and this doesn't happen as often as you might imagine. There comes a moment when something that we have talked about together quite a lot begins to crystallise as imminent or probable policy. In other words, the government reacts, as you would expect it to new threats and new dangers. We've been talking about social media and young people. All of us have. Everyone who's ever done a shift on LBC has talked about this umpteen times. But the story changes the closer it gets to the statute book. For example, I've gone from thinking something must be done immediately to thinking, please don't rush this. We have to get it right. And I bet we're not quite sure yet exactly what right looks like.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, ministers are considering tightening laws as part of measures to improve safety for children online. Plans could also see them being blocked from using virtual private networks to bypass age restrictions. A consultation on banning social media for under-16s is already underway. The Technology Secretary, Liz Kendall, has told LBC the government needs to keep up with online developments.
The technology is changing really, really quickly, but it took us something like almost 8 years to pass and implement the Online Safety Act. 8 years. I mean, you know how the technology is changing. So I think, just like we have a finance bill every year, we're going to have to start thinking about updating our legislation around technology much more regularly.
Police are under growing pressure to open a formal investigation into Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's ties with Jeffrey Epstein. Andrew is accused of passing sensitive information to the late sex offender when he was the UK's trade envoy. The former Liberal Democrat business secretary, Sir Vince Cable, has joined calls for criminal corruption claims to be looked into. The former Prince Andrew has always denied any wrongdoing. It's reported Sir Keir Starmer is considering making a significant increase in defence spending. Downing Street is said to be exploring the idea of meeting the existing target of 3% by the end of the current Parliament, rather than the next. The government says it doesn't comment on speculation. The final hearings of the UK COVID-19 public inquiry are due to get underway shortly. It'll examine how the pandemic impacted society, including key workers and the most vulnerable. And day 10 of the Winter Olympics is underway, with Team GB looking for more medals after yesterday's two golds. One was won by Matt Weston and Tabby Stoker in the mixed team skeleton event. She's told LBC News it was a surreal moment.
It was a dream come true, and especially to have all my friends and family there, everyone who supported us along this journey, and to see them all in the crowd and see how much it meant to me, but also to all of them too. Yeah, for me, it was amazing.
In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 31 at 10,477. The pound buys $1.36 and €1.14. LBC weather, scattered showers and sunny spells for most today. Some wintry showers on higher ground, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It's 3 minutes after ten. Far be it from me to criticise anybody possessed of sporting prowess. But it's not surreal to win a gold medal at the... If I won a gold medal at the Olympics, that would be surreal. I'm referring back to the news bulletin in case you missed it. The magnificent Tabby Stoker, who picked up a mixed team skeleton, describing her experience as surreal. And you've been training most of your adult life for this moment. You've entered the Olympics not by accident. You've turned up, you've played, you've had an absolute, a bit of a nightmare in the individuals, but you've played an absolute blinder in the mixed, and you've won a gold medal. That's almost the opposite of surreal. That's completely real. That's, I mean, it would be surreal if you turned up on the medal podium and instead of giving you a gold medal, they gave you a Dairy Milk or a banana. That would be surreal. It's not surreal to turn up to work, to have a good day at work and to get rewarded for it. Surreal would be me turning up unexpectedly at the beginning of the skeleton, which I mean, that's the one where all you have to do is lie flat and still, right? Is that the one? Anyway, it's like the mothership of all the sports I know I would be spectacularly bad at the Winter Olympics. Every single thing. Some of the sports look like they were dreamt up at 2 o'clock in the morning by undergraduates who'd been at the Wacky Backy all night. Well, no, and then you just like... got these big jumps, man, and then you go and then you just fly down this big tube of ice. It's like, yeah, and get medals. And some of them are just insane, aren't they? Absolutely insane. But anyway, well done to the Brits who have, I think, probably taken everyone except themselves by surprise. Again, the opposite of surreal, by delivering on the medal front. I had a thought this morning. I don't know if it is a thought that you have ever had, but it is about the dangers of rushing things. The dangers of actually, when somebody starts shouting, something must be done, doing something, because people are shouting, something must be done. Am I making sense? It's an odd position to adopt when you are in the business of shouting something must be done on an almost daily basis, but I hope we're a little bit more sophisticated and nuanced than that during our time together. Something must be done, and the dangers of rushing things. So the Online Safety Act, which was years in gestation, doesn't contain any legislation for chatbots, for AI chatbots, things like ChatGPT. It doesn't contain any legislation for it at all. And there are already cases unfolding, certainly in the United States, because we've spoken to one of the lawyers responsible for pursuing the case, of people who are blaming ChatGPT for the loss of their children. Chatbots encouraging people to hurt themselves, and young people in particular, but by no means exclusively, coming on the technology to a point of addiction and dedication that they end up trusting it more than any real people in their lives. So that's not even in the Online Safety Act. So you've got this really weird tension between something must be done, don't rush things, and you can't legislate for everything, because literally by the time you finished writing down what it is you need to do, the technology will have advanced enough to present new challenges. So the legislation needs to be fluid at the very least, doesn't it? And yet, I also find myself thinking that we need to know a little bit more about why we're doing it. There's a problem with being a phone. Do you know what the problem with being a phone-in host is? One of the few problems with being a phone-in host is that you start thinking about the world in a slightly different way from how normal people do. You start thinking about the world in the context of topics. And will that be an interesting conversation? When you're a young and wet behind the ears phone-in host, or if you're a very lazy phone-in host, you just think, will that make the phones ring? And you've got no particular interest in whether or not anybody ringing in has got anything interesting to say. But if you move to tier two of phone-in host, you say, so will we get interesting calls? And that, oddly, is not the question that governments should be asking themselves. We're going to do social. Will we get interesting calls, do you think, Keir, on that? And, of course, you get the equivalent of the angry, ill-informed radio phone-in contributor, usually Kemi Badenoch in the current political landscape, who will just complain about everything. Well, they're not going fast enough. They've gone really fast. Well, they're going too fast. They've gone about the right speed. Well, they've got not going fast enough or slow enough. Like the sort of grand old Duke of York with their 10,000 men. When they were up, they were up. And when they were down. And when they were only halfway up, they were neither up nor down. You're just going to have to complain about whatever the government is doing, because that's what you think the role is. Bless your little cotton socks, as leader of the opposition. Now, the rest of us recognise something must be done, boom, but we simultaneously recognise that getting it right is more important than getting it now. Is that a catchphrase anywhere? Has that ever been a slogan? It's quite a good slogan. Getting it right is more important than getting it now. You can have that, politicians of the world. And if we're going to get it right, we need to focus on precisely what we think the problem is, or precisely what we think the problems are. And the social media ban for under 16s, which could happen this year, the Prime Minister is being urged to speed it up. Now, this is when an alarm bell goes off for me. Tell me why I'm wrong. That.